welcome to the American Journal. I am Brianna Morello. We're excited that you are all with us today. There's a lot going on in the world, a lot to discuss, and we're excited that you are here. Like I said, we're waiting and waiting, and we've been waiting for a while now for James Comey to get arrested, and he is finally going to be making his way today into a courtroom. Obviously, it's long overdue. We'll be covering that. It's expected to happen at 10 a.m. Eastern time today. That is when we'll see Comey walk into a federal courthouse for charges that I would say are like the bare minimum when it comes to holding these treasonous pigs accountable. So, you know, it's long overdue. It's long overdue. We can't wait to bring you that in just a few moments. We will also be following as well the president, because the president later today is expected to have a meeting. It's going to be a roundtable meeting regarding Antifa. That's expected to be at 3 p.m. Eastern time. So we're looking to see what he's going to say during that, and I'm sure that will be very exciting. But we also have an incredible lineup of guests coming your way today on the show. I'll be joined by Senator Tommy Tuberville by phone in just a few moments. He'll be calling this hour because Tuberville was spied on. He was spied on, and he is ready to sound off this morning, so we're excited to have him on the show. I'll also be joined by my good friend, Mr. Congressman Tim Burchett. He is an incredible patriot. He tweeted out yesterday, though, that he was a little jealous that he has not been spied on yet by the Biden regime. He hasn't found out if he was or wasn't, and he feels kind of left out. So we'll have him on the program today to discuss. I'll also be joined by Susan Crabtree, because she's got a great story that she's been working on regarding Secret Service and DEI. But plus, she's going to be coming to us to break down the Biden CIA declassified documents that we saw just yesterday morning break. And she's been following that story, so we're excited to have her on the program as well. Plus Mel Kay joining us on this beautiful Wednesday morning. A lot to talk about with her, especially a new film that's very controversial because, of course, it highlights and it just adds to the left-wing violence that we see throughout our country right now. So Mel's going to join us to sound off because she spent some time in Hollywood. So she knows a thing or two about how they make these films and if it's really just an innocent mistake that DiCaprio is featured in a film and has been kind of the main force behind a film that highlights left-wing violence. So she's got a lot to say about that as well. So we're going to be covering all of that today. Plus, I mean, last night I'm watching as all of these individuals are making the rounds on Fox News, as they usually do, and every single one of them, the senators, are playing victims because they found out that they were spied on. And yes, you are a victim because obviously they shouldn't be spying on you. The Biden regime was doing that. They were going after their political opponents. And they're upset, and they have every right to be upset. But why are you only upset when it affects you? It's been going on to so many innocent Americans for a very long time now. And sadly, there's a very limited group of people who were actually bold enough to come out and call it out. And so, yes, we should all be angry and upset that they decided to spy on people that were their opponents. But again, when you don't sound off about these issues from day one, it's really your fault. You are actually, I believe, a participant in all of it. So I'll be sounding off on that again today. A lot we're kicking off with today. I'm excited to talk to Senator Tommy Tuberville. Because if I'm looking for someone to shoot straight with me, it's that guy. And I know he's probably very upset when he found out they were looking at his calls to see what he was up to during the Biden regime era. And it's interesting, too, because yesterday on MSNBC, we'll play the clip for you at the beginning of the show. Yesterday on MSNBC, there was someone you're very familiar with who is allegedly a reporter, but he's more so a deep state spokesperson coming on and saying, oh, this is totally normal. Totally normal to get the phone records of Republican senators and to go after them too. Yeah, it's not normal. There's nothing normal about it, of course. But they're trying to spin it the best way that they can. They don't really have much on that front though, but they'll do their very best. So we'll be diving into all those topics in just a few moments. I wanted to remind you as well, we'll be taking calls later during the show, so I look forward to hearing from you. But I got to remind you to head on over right now to the alexjonesstore.com because we have an incredible sale going on right now. We don't know how much longer it's going to last. So in the meantime, head on over there and stock up on your favorite items. 20% off site-wide. Yes, that's a big one. Head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. More to come. Don't go anywhere.
Every guest we've interviewed in studio, I've given our ultramethylene blue to, and they've all been blown away. Ladies and gentlemen, this isn't hype. All our supplements are great and have amazing health effects, but this one hits 99% of people within 30 minutes, and the long-term effects are even more amazing. So secure your ultramethylene blue now, the most powerful you can get on the market, at theolivestore.com, and fund the tip of the spear in the fight for liberty and supercharge your own personal life. Believe me, if you don't take action and get it, you will never know how amazing it is. Over 99% of people have had incredible effects. You owe it to yourself right now to try ultramethylene blue, exclusively available at theolivestore.com.
Today, a lot happening around the world, but most importantly on this show, I have a lineup of incredible guests joining us in just a few moments. I'm very excited because we're going to have Senator Tommy Tuberville joining the program in just a few moments. He's expected to call in about 20, 25 minutes, and we got a lot to say with him because he found himself on a list, and not the list that you want to land on when you are a Republican lawmaker. He found out he was being spied on by Jack Smith and all of his Democratic operatives who were doing their very best to go after and target anyone who was close to President Donald J. Trump. So obviously, Senator Tommy Tuberville not very happy when he learned of the news, and he's going to join us in a little bit to sound off on that. He's joining us by a phone. We're very excited to have him on the program today. I'll also be joined by my friend, Mr. Congressman Tim Burchett. He is an incredible congressman, one of the very few fighting for Americans. I could say that with confidence. You know, I was in D.C. and this is maybe 2 months ago, and he was the only one who I wanted to just stop in and pop in and say, hello, how you doing? Because he is the only one who I truly, not the only one, we've got a couple more, but he's the main one who actually cares to fight for Americans. And it's a very, very limited group of people who are fighters, but he is on our team. We're excited to have him on the program today. He posted a tweet yesterday and it cracked me up, saying that he's feeling kind of left out in regards to the Biden regime spying on Americans. Found out that, he hasn't yet been named. I was kind of hoping the FBI illegally investigated me. Yeah, you kind of feel left out to the party. Left out to the party, but he is an incredible patriot. I think he probably was spied on. I think he was. Just a matter of time before we find out. And actually, we're going to play in a little bit, we're going to play a clip from FBI Director Kash Patel saying that there was actually more people who were being spied on. So new names will be dropping soon. Maybe he'll land on that list. It's actually probably one of the highest levels of honor one could have. But we'll also be talking about that too. We're also going to be talking about James Comey, because at 10 a.m. Eastern time today, he's going to be making his way into a federal courthouse, just strolling on in. It's an honor to just be able to walk right into the federal courthouses, not to get a raid at your home at 6 a.m. with armed agents outside your home. You're just going to stroll on in, face his charges, and then walk out. James Comey. We'll see that. That will happen at 10 a.m. Eastern time today. Also, President Donald Trump is expected to have a roundtable discussion on Antifa at 3 p.m. Eastern time today. Obviously, we'll be covering that here on InfoWars, of course. And I'll be going over the highlights tomorrow as well. But let's do the first thing. Let's talk about Arctic Frost, because, of course, everyone's talking about it right now. Well, everyone except the mainstream media. I actually this morning wanted to see if, like, CNN, MSNBC, if any of the outlets were actually covering what's been going on. And you're not seeing much from them. You're not seeing much, but you are seeing a spin. We'll play the spin for you in a little bit, but FBI Director Kash Patel is going behind the scenes trying to figure out what exactly happened during the Biden years. And he was on Fox yesterday and kind of detailed specifically on how he came about the evidence, how well hidden it was, and what he's uncovered. Take a listen.
Look, they put this information, those that weaponized the FBI and prior leadership at DOJ and FBI, they took this information where they subpoenaed 8 sitting United States senators, put it in a lockbox, put that lockbox in a vault, and then put that vault in a cyber place where no one can see or search these files. They're called restricted access and prohibited access. Restricted access means some people get to see it. Prohibited access, you put it in there when you want to hide it from the world, and that takes the authorization of the Attorney General and the Director of the FBI. So not only did they weaponize this law enforcement, but when we got in there, and when I got in as the FBI Director, from my experience as Russiagate, I knew where to look and what rooms to open and what doors to kick down. And that's what we did. We found this information to expose the politicization by Jack Smith and the prior Department of Justice. I mean, just think about it. 8 sitting United States senators, phone records were gathered and subpoenaed through the grand jury process, and it was buried and wormholed with the hope that no one would find it. So we're just scratching the surface here, but accountability is coming. You're darn right I fired those agents. You're darn right I blew up CR-15, the public corruption squad that led the weaponization at the Washington field office. We're just warming up, but we are running our investigations to the ground. We are finding every single person involved. We will not leave a single room locked. We will go in through all the prohibited access requirements, and we will find the material and show the American public, like we have done in this FBI, more transformative and transparent than any in the U.S. history, to bring accountability to the American people. And we will work with our partners in Congress, who should be furious at the prior administration's leadership and weaponization and singular politicization of law enforcement. The American public sees what we're doing, Sean, with the stats you just read off in the beginning. They see what we're doing here to develop, to unseal the vault and show the world how the deep state actually operated. It's not a Republican fiction. This is what Donald Trump was put in place to do, and I'm honored to be his FBI director to lead this charge, and the men and women at the FBI, we're all in on this mission.
All right, I got to say, I love to hear that from the FBI director. The reality is we need to go after these people. They need to be held accountable, and he says he's pushing for it. So it's good to hear on that front. Again, you have to give credit when credit's due. I'm obviously very critical of the FBI, especially under this new administration. So far, so good, I'd say. Listen, Cash Patel can only do so much. The rest of it falls on DOJ, and there's many people out there who believe that there's a lot of things falling flat once it gets to the desks of any of the top officials over at the DOJ. So I will say that I'm optimistic that the director truly means what he's saying right now. And we hope that there is accountability that's followed, because that's truly important. Now, Senator Josh Hawley is another one who was on that list of individuals being spied on. And he reacted to the news, obviously, of being added to this list in clip 2. Let's take a listen.
Senate Judiciary Committee member just stepped out of that hearing. What did you hear from Dan Bongino and the FBI last night on this?
Well, what I know, Bill, is that they targeted the DOJ, the Biden DOJ specifically targeted a group of us. They asked for our call records so they could see who we talked to, who called us. I believe also track our location over a period of days. This is outrageous. I mean, this is really unbelievable. It's blatantly unconstitutional. It's a violation of the First Amendment. It's a violation of the separation of powers. And it also goes to show you the extent to which the Biden administration was so corrupt, using the FBI to target their political enemies. And let's not forget, they didn't just do it to senators. They did it to school board parents who went and spoke up at those school board meetings. They did it to 92 conservative organizations, including Charlie Kirk's Turning Point USA. They tried to recruit spies into Catholic parishes. That's the kind of people we're dealing with here. Bill, we need a total investigation, a thorough investigation into everybody who was responsible, and I think there needs to be prosecutions.
Okay.
Tracking their locations. I wonder why they'd want to do that. You see, there was something obviously going on within the Biden regime. They didn't charge any of these senators. It's very clear that they didn't find anything incriminating. But again, why go after them in the first place? FBI Director Cash Patel says there's more names that are going to be dropped soon. He did say there are other Congress members. So we'll see how that all unravels. But again, shouldn't have happened in the first place, but it did. But it did. Now, Senator John Kennedy, actually one of my favorite senators. When I worked at Fox, I would love booking him on shows because he's very punchy, and he always drops a good one-liner whenever he can. So yesterday, during the Senate Judiciary Committee, he decided to take the opportunity to put on full display for the world to see what the Biden regime was actually up to when he was grilling Pam Bondi. And by grilling, I mean just, you know, asking her a couple questions. He for sure made to bring all of this information up, but he wanted specifically for Pam Bondi to confirm, why would you get these subpoenas and how do you even obtain them? Take a listen.
What do I have to show in that subpoena to get those phone records of a sitting? Did I mention it was a sitting United States senator? I can't remember. What do I have to show to get the phone records of a sitting United States senator?
Yes, Senator, there were actually 8 sitting United States senators.
Yeah, I heard that.
And you would have to have cause.
I'm sorry, what do I have to show?
You would have to have cause to get the
good
subpoena.
Cause or probable cause?
Probable cause.
Okay. Probable cause or if it's a subpoena, deuces take them, good cause to show what?
You would need good cause for a subpoena, deuces take them, and what you would have to show is that you believed a crime had been committed or that there was a possibility of a crime or that could lead to other crimes. We frequently, in criminal enterprises, subpoena cell phones.
By the sitting United States senator.
Senator, they would have to have believed you were part of a criminal conspiracy, is my understanding.
Huh. Now, if that's the case, it sounds kind of like they were trying to build a RICO case on GOP lawmakers, if that's true. Again, they went to great lengths, as you heard the FBI director describe, to hide all of this, to make sure the American people didn't know what they were actually up to. Again, this highlights the level of corruption that was going on behind the scenes. But again, why was this all happening in the first place? Well, those are questions that many of us would like answered. And over on MSNBC, the spokesperson for the deep state, posing as a journalist, continues to go out there and protect all of his allies within the deep state by defending them, by pretending all of this is normal operations. Take a listen to clip 4.
This was, Nicole, an insidious triumph of right-wing propaganda because Chuck Grassley releases this redacted FBI document that shows that the FBI, as part of the Jack Smith investigation, obtained the tolling records to and from records that are the property of the phone company and that are obtainable by a subpoena, not a warrant, not a court order, but a subpoena. The FBI obtained those in the course of the investigating the insurrection. But Grassley puts that out. Right-wing media explodes in rage and calls this spying on Republican senators. And by the time it gets to the hearing, when sort of mainstream reporters like me are just trying to figure out what is this all about and what's the context here, you have senators saying that they were wiretapped, which was just a fantasy. That's not what happened. What this was Jack Smith trying to figure out who Donald Trump was calling when he was trying to delay the certification. This is according to my sources, of the 2020 election. He was talking to members of Congress, and it wasn't just, he has multiple cell phones, he goes through intermediaries, and there was a reference to this in the Smith report. He talks about Trump calling members of Congress, and he also talks about consulting with Public Integrity about the proper way to investigate that and how to obtain documents. So this is perfectly legitimate. These senators were not targeted, they were not under investigation, they were essentially witnesses in this investigation, but they've made it into this fake scandal, and now it's having real-world repercussions because, as you said, Kash Patel just announced not long ago that he's firing FBI agents and disbanding a corruption squad. This is not the first corruption squad they disbanded, by the way. They had previously disbanded one in the Washington field office whose job was to investigate corruption in Congress, ironically enough. You're absolutely right. This is these FBI agents are losing their jobs because they did what they were asked to do in a lawfully predicated investigation, and another corruption squad looking at public corruption doesn't exist. And a lot of people think that right now no one in the FBI or the Justice Department is examining public corruption unless it's something that Donald Trump wants them to look at.
Right. And then even if it's something Donald Trump wants them to look at and they investigated and found nothing, a case is brought.
You see how they always say that? First off, when he says sources, he's talking about his deep state operatives who are literally calling his phone, telling him what the spin is. I mean, he's literally talking to the enemy. That's what you're hearing from that. This is the same person out there who's been defending J6 Fusion. So much has gone on with this guy. So when he tells you, oh, it was nothing, they were just trying to track down who President Trump was calling. Who the heck does Jack Smith think he is? See, he was never, and this is why it was so important to even just push back on his alleged authority to even prosecute President Trump. He didn't have authority to file charges. He didn't. And so to sit here and think that he has the authority to somehow, some way obtain the communication records of lawmakers, This is why it's so important to push back from day one. So many people sit pretty and just sit back and watch what's unraveling and say, oh, this is outrageous. How could this happen? But it wasn't supposed to happen in the first place. And all they had to do was push back, say something, subpoena all of these individuals to come forward in front of their committees. And they chose not to. They chose not to. You see, Jack Smith was nothing less of a political operative going out there to go after Joe Biden and the Democratic Party's opponents. He didn't actually have a legitimate case. He was trying to cook up a bunch of lies and go after the president. Now, again, let's just say it's regarding January 6th and that case that they were trying their very best to cook up against the president. We know that they did their best by using text messages in other cases to go after defendants. Talked about all the time. Stuart Rhodes was the big one for me. When I was on the phone with Stuart while he was in jail, he literally told me that what you're seeing play out in my trial is what they want to do for President Trump. And long behold, that was true. You see, they tried to say that Stuart Rhodes was the leader of the Oath Keepers and he was the one who orchestrated everything behind the scenes, even though they didn't have a lick of evidence to prove that. But they were playing everything out with Stuart Rhodes. But the goal wasn't to go after Stuart ultimately. It was to go after the President of the United States at the time, President Donald J. Trump. So when we sit back and we watch what happened over these last few years, we need to make sure that we are calling it out once we start to see it begin. Because now all these Republican lawmakers are outraged, but they thought that the rest of us were too fringe. They actually, in most cases, didn't even want to talk on behalf of J6ers to call out how repulsive it was that they were targeting these people, going after them for misdemeanor offenses by ripping off their front doors at 6 a.m. You see, those were individuals who they just deemed as less than them. I mean, that's the reality. When I would try to call around and get members in the Senate, get members in the House involved, they thought they were better than these people. Little did you know that the FBI was doing the same exact thing to you. They wanted to see if they could get away with it. And it's going to take years and years and years to purge these people out. But essentially, they got away with the crime because no one's going to prison. You know, we're sitting here waiting for James Comey to have his hearing today. But folks, I could promise you that nothing big is going to come of this. In fact, this is the bare minimum. And James Comey and John Bolton having Bolton's home raided, guess what? They're not Democrats. They're not Democrats. So those are the two safest bets. Plus, it's like the bare minimum when it comes to criminal charges. And we know based on court records, they did uncover classified information at Bolton's home. Has he been charged yet? I don't have a mugshot. Do you have a mugshot? James Comey's just going to walk on into court today. That's a luxury. That's a luxury that those on the right were never offered. They were so quick to get a mugshot. They didn't care if they were factually true what they were saying. They just get them, boys, ripping off their front doors at 6 a.m. You know, we had Roger Stone on the show last week, and obviously he's very upset about all of this, and he should be upset about all of this because we saw the lengths that they went to go after these people. In clip five, we're going to listen to Chris Cuomo. It's a very interesting clip because Chris Cuomo is now trying to defend those on the left by pretending like President Trump is somehow, some way going after his political opposition. And he's saying this to someone named Eric Trump. But the good news is Eric Trump doesn't let him get away with it. Take a listen.
I find it so ironic that you're literally one that's pushing back on the weaponization of government when the very same people that were coming after us, you know, went after your brother, you know, like hounds. I mean, they did everything they could to destroy his governorship. They did everything they could to destroy his life. They did everything they could to destroy you. I sat in that same seat. The only difference is my last name wasn't Cuomo. My last name was Trump. They were trying to destroy my father. And by doing that, they were trying to destroy me and they were trying to destroy the Trump organization. They were trying to take all our assets and strip our name off of every building in New York City. You've been on the receiving end of the very same people that I've been on the receiving end of. And so to play coy with me as if this isn't happening in the United States of America just seems ironic and foolish given what you've been through more so than anybody.
Hold on a second. What did you just say that you think I'm doing? I'm asking you questions about whether or not if something is wrong, it is also wrong to do the same thing when you get back in power, which certainly happened the first time the administration came in. You went right after Biden. And I don't mean you. You weren't part of the administration. I'll get to you in a second in terms of what's going on right now. But if you think I'm playing coy, you don't know me as well as you should.
Chris,
I'm not playing coy. I know what happened to me.
Chris, did we?
I'm
saying what happened
looks like what was done to you. That's why I'm asking the question.
Did we raid Biden's home? You know, did we try and bankrupt Biden? Did they come after us? Did we weaponize every AG and DA, you know, against Biden? Did we do that against Hunter Biden, who had a laptop from hell, pictures of cocaine, illicit drug use, prostitution? You know, did we do that? Did we make up a dirty dossier about Biden? Did they try and destroy Biden's marriage? You know, was any of that true? I mean, did we make up stories that Biden had secret servers in the basement of his home communicating with the Kremlin in Russia? You know, did we strip Biden off the ballot of multiple states? Did we take Biden off of Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and try and silence his voice so he couldn't communicate? Did we put Biden in a courtroom every single day? 91 felony counts that have all been overturned for my father now, right? For nonsense, to try and keep him off of a campaign trail and to try and destroy his life. You know, did we do any of that?
You see, Chris Cuomo is doing his very best impression of trying to rewrite history. He was on the wrong side of all of these issues, but now he wants to appear to be a moderate down the middle. He's not. If you were sleeping these last few years, you probably would think, Chris has a point. But if you've been paying attention to what was going on, with not only President Trump, but others, even low-level people who I don't even think met the president, how they were being wrapped into these RICO cases for no reason at all, if you're paying attention to that, you would probably be outraged by those claims that Chris Cuomo continues to make. He's a individual who likes to play defense for the deep state. But he thinks he's rewriting history. He's not a good person. He's actually an awful person. And you can't let him get away with that stuff. You can't let him get away with that stuff. So good on Eric Trump for pushing back on that front. And by the way, when they went after Andrew Cuomo, it was justifiable. Justifiable. There's a long laundry list of pay-to-play schemes that they believe he's allegedly been involved in. Obviously, the nursing home scandal is massive, but other Democrats did that as well. And so you can't really go after him for what happened in those nursing homes because it played into what Democrats were looking at doing. They wanted to make the COVID pandemic worse than what it was. And so sadly, they intentionally killed off, in my opinion, killed off the elderly population. Chris Cuomo knows that. He was hoping that his brother was going to run for president. That's why he gave his CNN platform away to his brother. He wasn't targeted. He's not an innocent victim in all of this. So it's important to highlight that every single day. Every single day I'm going to highlight that. These two trolls are awful people. One of them is now running for New York City mayor, of course. And the other one now has a show on News Nation. But he's learning that he's not as popular as he thought he was. And that big head of his. All right, folks, there's more to unpack. Senator Tommy Tuberville is joining us in just a few moments. So you're going to want to be there for that. He's calling in. We look forward to talking to him about being surveilled by the Biden regime. But before we go to commercial break, I want to remind you all at home, the alexjonesstore.com has the Last Stand super sale going on right now. InfoWars could be shut down as soon as next week or maybe even today. And so we're looking to create and fund our next operation. So we need you all on board with us if you want us to continue to fight this information war. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com. It's 20% off site-wide, plus buy one, get one free while supplies last.
This is undoubtedly one of the toughest announcements that I've ever personally had to make. But after the accident and turn 4 at the end of the Daytona 500, we've lost Dale Earnhardt.
Look, I'm not trying to frame myself as the GOAT, like a Dale Earnhardt who died with his boots on, sword in hand, or Michael Jordan, or Tom Brady, or Muhammad Ali. But the truth is, when it comes to information warfare and saving the American Republic, taking on the globalists, having the greatest effect awakening Americans, people all over the world. InfoWars is the MVP. And the bad guys know that. That's why they come after us. That's why they sue us. That's why they attack us. Why they censor us, debank us, all of it. Because they see us as the lead elephant, the guy that has to be taken out. So, ladies and gentlemen, we've survived so many deep state attacks and attempts to close our doors in the last 8 years. It's intensified the last year. And people kind of see it as a boy who cried wolf thing. I mean, you see it in the news. They're coming to shut us down. You see them send in armed private security with no court order. Bloomberg's group, The Onion, having fake auctions. And we keep surviving. And people say, well, you're invincible. But we've had big movements in state and federal court. So just please pray for InfoWars and pray for our future, because we are fighting so hard. This crew has put up with so much. And please, please remember that thealexjonesstore.com is not owned by me. And it's part of the Alex Jones Network. So even if they shut this place down, the Alex Jones Network, Bigly, our sponsor, will be funding the crew, the satellite uplinks, the servers, the studios, all of it, the legal. And that's why when you go to thealexjonesstore.com, you support there. It has a giant effect. Plus, I only sell you products that really work. The very best methylene blue, the very best bovine colostrum, the very best Shilajit, Irish sea moss, the very best spike protein detox, cardiovascular booster, ultimate life force. These products are incredible. They have 5-star reviews, 80%+ reorder rates. But I need you to get off the bench and go try the products, plus the widest selection of Patriot apparel at thealexjonesstore.com. It has been your financing of us that has kept us on air, and I want to thank those that have supported and love the products. But I want to encourage those of you that see this broadcast like a Netflix show or NFL game or entertainment. This ain't entertainment. This is men and women in the arena fighting tyranny at point blank range. The bad guys want us off the air because they know we are for real. So for our legal defense and staying on the air and expanding the face of this tyranny, regardless of what happens, you decide whether we stay on air. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com. Throughout this week, we've got deals on bovine colostrum, on ultramethylene blue, all of it, where you buy one, get one free. But we're only running 2 days for each product. So check out whenever you watch this, which product is there, buy one, get one free. But everything's discounted at least 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. Whatever you do, check out the widest selection of some of the best designs of Patriot apparel in the world. Over 600 designs. It's actually annoying how many dinosaurs are. It takes a lot of time to go through it all. And wear these shirts, wear these ball caps, and experience what it's like to see how many people are awake. It is a real adventure. So thanks for your support. Whatever you do, spread the word, pray for the broadcast, and I thank you humbly for all you've done. Now take action now in the spirit of 1776 at thealexjonesstore.com. Wars take money to finance. It's an info war, and you are the info when you take action. Thank you so much.
American Journal. We're excited that you are all here. I'm even more excited because we're going to be speaking with Senator Tommy Tuberville in just a few moments. Now, Tuberville, my favorite senator right now, especially given the fact that he was just added to a list, but it's the right list. It's the list when all the enemies are going after President Trump. It's the list you want to be on. It's the list you want to be on because you're a patriot, because you're fighting for this country. And you want to make sure that the government knows, that these people who are trying to destroy this country know that you are not on the side of evil. And that is exactly what Tuberville finds himself on. So when it comes to how far the Biden regime was looking to go to target our, their political opponents, I should say, they really had no boundaries. And we're going to listen to Kash Patel, because the FBI director yesterday was outlining how aggressive they went after President Trump's allies, but most importantly, how they tried to cover it up. Take a listen.
Sean, I want to peel this onion carefully. Look, they put this information, those that weaponized the FBI and prior leadership at DOJ and FBI, they took this information where they subpoenaed 8 sitting United States senators, put it in a lockbox, put that lockbox in a vault and then put that vault in a cyber place where no one can see or search these files. They're called restricted access and prohibited access. Restricted access means some people get to see it. Prohibited access, you put it in there when you want to hide it from the world, and that takes the authorization of the Attorney General and the Director of the FBI. So not only did they weaponize this law enforcement, but when we got in there, and when I got in as the FBI Director, from my experience as Russiagate, I knew where to look and what rooms to open and what doors to kick down. And that's what we did. We found this information to expose the politicization by Jack Smith and the prior Department of Justice.
By phone is joining me Senator Tommy Tuberville. Obviously, he was one of the eight on this list that was just recently released by Senator Chuck Grassley's office, and he's with us today. Senator Tuberville, I want to thank you for joining us. It's shocking to see that they thought they could get away with this, but it's not surprising. We've heard time and time again on how aggressive they were going after Americans, other lawmakers, but now you find yourself on this list. What was your initial reaction when you found out they were looking after your call records?
Well, good morning, Brianna. I thought, well, I might as well go down and start trying on prison pinstripes because these criminals on the other side, they're going to try to do anything to put anybody in prison that doesn't like the nonsense that they're putting on. But it's embarrassing to the country that not just as senators, but just as regular citizens. Number one, Jack Smith would subpoena just carte blanche of eight sitting U.S. senators, not knowing, well, we might hit something here that might help us on put President Trump behind bars for 1,000 years. Or the other thing is that I'm really contemplating is going after AT&T, who, when they called AT&T and said, you know, we've got a subpoena here for these senators' phone numbers. Coach Tuberville is one of them. We'd like to get those. Well, wait a minute. These are sitting U.S. senators. These are citizens of the United States. Let me call and let them know that they're going to we're going to give up their numbers. Wait a minute. That is private information. What are we doing here? Again, it has to be a criminal a subpoena. Now, they hadn't got me on any kind of criminal charges whatsoever. No, really, President Trump, they were just fishing. And to me, when you're fishing like that, you don't have credible evidence. You don't have the right to subpoena anybody's phone records.
Yeah, they don't have that right. And you know, it wasn't just you guys also. I remember when I was talking to the FBI whistleblowers, several of them, after they came forward to Congress, actually got their records subpoenaed as well. But the steps were they were able to find out that their records were subpoenaed because Twitter informed them, as well as Google as well. So they received some type of communications in regards to that happening. And so they knew that they were under investigation, even though these agencies didn't tell them. So I think that's deeply concerning. We're listening, though, as they're trying to dismiss it. And there's an MSNBC reporter who constantly finds himself defending these deep state operatives. And he's on MSNBC saying that they were only trying to figure out if you were communicating with the president that day on January 6th and what your communications were like with the president. What's your reaction to hearing an excuse like that?
Well, there's no excuse for it.
Yeah.
By the way, this went back to January the 4th before I was even sworn in getting my phone records. And I wasn't just January the 6th. And again, it goes back to privacy. I can remember when there was a murder case or something a few years ago, and Apple said, there's no way we're going to open this iPhone and look into it and give out, private information. There's no way we're going to do it. There's no difference in this. It is just absolutely insane of what these people have tried to do behind the scenes. And thank God for Cash Patel kicking the doors down and saying, listen, we got in here. I know exactly where to look. And thank goodness for these whistleblowers. Now, Brianna, they're coming out of the woodwork. And so this is just the tip of the iceberg here of information that's going to be brought out in the next few years and hopefully very soon. I, for one, along with Marsha Blackburn, we've talked about trying to have Jack Smith disbarred. Why in the world would this guy have a lawyer's license, be able to do anything when he's just out there fishing, trying to get President Trump and trying to just go out there and just throwing a net over a bunch of senators saying we might be able to get something here? Well, that's stupid.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. It is. And I think it highlights also another element to all of this on how they all wanted to loop all of you into a criminal case. It looks like that's what they were trying to do. We know that they were going after the records of President Trump's attorneys, their financial records. And when I asked legal experts, they say, yeah, you kind of want to see if there's any type of criminality behind there. But you also want to see how well they could fund their own legal defense. If they could actually provide enough funding on their own defense, then you might be reluctant to go after them. But if you think you could get a plea deal possibly, then you might be more willing to go after these people. It's just one of the many layers of lawfare, and going after lawmakers is pretty egregious. We thought we would never be here, but we are. I know you're mentioning possibly trying to get Jack Smith disbarred. Are there any type of solutions also that you guys are working on right now to resolve this issue?
Well, first of all, we're trying to get all the information. We were told by Dan Bongino at our briefing when we first found out about this a couple of days ago that, listen, we just got in the door and started looking at this information. Hopefully we'll have more to add on to this by the end of the week or next week. So let's let them do their due diligence. Let's don't jump to a conclusion here. Let's find out exactly what they were trying to do, who they did it to. I wouldn't doubt that there was a lot more people going to be involved in this, whether it's from Jack Smith and the Biden administration, or I mean more people they went after, whether it's friends of President Trump or whether it's more congressmen or senators. I would think that this thing's going to get even bigger and bigger. They had to put Donald Trump in jail. They knew he was gaining momentum. They knew when he got in there, stuff like this was going to happen. So they just opened the floodgates and started breaking every law they possibly could of trying to keep him from getting in the office again. Well, guess what? He won, and they're going to pay the price.
Yeah, and they have to make sure this never happens again. Senator, I want to change topics a bit because obviously right now the government shut down. We're on day 8 of the shutdown. But we have Chuck Schumer who's out there right now, and he's pretending like this shutdown isn't being caused by him and his leadership. In fact, he's even denying something that they're well on the record about in regards to providing illegal aliens with health care. Take a listen.
We're not pushing to give health insurance to undocumented immigrants. That's a lie. It's been proven to be a lie over and over again, but he doesn't care. He just keeps restating the lie because he's so afraid of the truth.
Senator, I have to try to say this without laughing, but Chuck Schumer thinks it's a lie. We know that Democrats are pushing for illegal aliens to be put onto our health care system. So what's going on here?
Well, you're exactly right. Schumer shut down. Listen, Brianna, let's open it back up. All we have to do is go back down to the floor here in a few hours, which we're going to vote again, and the 52 Republicans vote on it and get 8 Democrats to vote on it, and it's back open. And then we can negotiate and talk about whatever they want to talk about. But we are not giving them $1.5 trillion more of the American taxpayers' money just simply for the fact that they're going to try to buy more votes. We have 700,000 people that are illegals that are taking Social Security that never worked a day in their life in this country, and we're going broke. I mean, these people, they're not afraid of anything, but they will lie when the truth is better. Chuck Schumer can't tell the truth. He is getting his ears beat off by the far left. He is trying to appease them, but at the end of the day, this has nothing to do with us. I voted for open up the government, 6-7 times now after we started voting on this over a week ago. We'll vote on it again today. They'll vote it down, and it's their fault. Open the government back up, and let's go back to work and talk about these issues. But we are not funding illegals in anything that they want to do. I'm telling you that right now. That's not going to happen.
Yeah, we need to make sure that doesn't happen because Americans want to be put first, and we're not second-class citizens in our own country. Senator Tommy Tuberville, I'm excited to have you on the program today. I know it's a busy day for you, so thank you for calling into the show today. We appreciate your time, sir.
Thank you. God bless.
God bless you as well. Senator Tommy Tuberville, one of the very few fighters we have in D.C., and so it's an honor to have him on the program today. It's so insane, and I love the fact that he just told us that both him and Senator Marsha Blackburn are looking to have Jack Smith disbarred. Yes, that's the same type of treatment they should be met with. Because, folks, we saw what they did to Rudy Giuliani. Obviously, my friend Jeff Clark is still going through it. We saw what happened with John Eastman. They went after people who did not break the law, who wanted to represent President Donald Trump. And so they targeted them by doing what you heard, getting them disbarred, trying to mess up their finances, obviously, going after them, actually, because they were also name in Arctic Frost. And so time and time again, we continue to see this all how it plays out, but they are evil. These are evil people. to have sat here and to sit here and to go through all these criminal investigations and the people who, you know, weren't doing anything wrong. It just shows what we're up against. We're up against evil. And they didn't care. They didn't care. You know, the senator also mentioned the fact that he's not happy that AT&T turned over these records. Let me pause on that a little bit. Let me tell you what happened with the whistleblowers. So I broke the story. This is maybe a little over a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, when FBI whistleblowers, Garrett O'Boyle specifically, was targeted by the Biden administration. When he came forward to Congress, which he was allowed to do, he made his disclosures, and then that's when they launched an investigation. Now, into all of them, they actually go after them and look up your credit score, your information. They try to see what your finances are when you come forward as a whistleblower. And we know this because there's record of when they do that. So Garrett O'Boyle had his communications subpoenaed. They went after, I believe it was Gmail. They also went after Apple and Twitter, I believe, all three of them. And I was in awe. Because it's just such a bold harassment move to make when you know he's coming forward to report corruption. And so when you go through all of this and you start seeing the documents that are being presented, the copies of the subpoenas, because these companies are letting Garrett know that, hey, they are actually looking for your communication. And it's interesting to note, too, I know, and thank you to our control room for putting this up, even though we were told by the FBI that Steve Friend and Garrett O'Boyle have both been reinstated, according to my sources, they haven't been paid yet. We're still waiting to see what their status is. I can't talk to the guys because I'm a member of the media, so I don't want to jeopardize them being reinstated. It's against FBI policy, so I'm just going off of what I'm being told from third-party sources. But they have not been made right so far. Again, this is the levels that they go to go after people. This is what they do. And so even though Garrett O'Boyle was legally doing what he was allowed to do, they didn't like the fact that he was bold enough to come forward as a whistleblower, make any type of disclosures to Congress. And so they opened up a criminal investigation into him. Why did they do that? Well, they want to slander your name. They want to slander your name. And that's exactly what they were looking to do. So again, we need to highlight this stuff. This is what they want to get away with. This is what they want to get away with. These men are good people. Here you go. FBI, DOJ, Jerry Nadler work together to target FBI whistleblowers. You guys are the best. Thank you. Garrett O'Boyle has been put through hell. And we still don't even know what he blew the whistle on because he kept his mouth shut. You see, those disclosures that he submitted forward to Congress haven't been made public. And he's doing that because, again, he was trying to go about this the right way. But the Biden regime declared war on him, and he's just a regular folk like the rest of us. And he was forced to fight off the federal government himself. And so subpoena after subpoena, guess what? They found nothing. They never filed criminal charges against Garrett O'Boyle, just like the senators. Just like those members of Congress that they actually went after their records, even seizing the phone of one congressman. You see, all of the federal laws out there, they couldn't figure out one to make stick. What does that tell you? That's why I think it's an honor to be added to any of these lists at this point, because if they tried their very best to land any type of criminal charge on you and they weren't able to do it, especially because it would have been filed probably in Washington, D.C. in front of a liberal jury, well, guess what? You probably aren't a criminal. You probably aren't a real criminal. Folks, I want to remind you all that the Last Stand Super Sale is going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. You got to head on over there because we don't know when these doors will be shut. It could be this week. It could be today. We don't know. It could be later this week. We don't know. Head on over right now to thealexjonesstore.com because we have our sale going on right now. It's 20% off store-wide. And while supplies still last, we're doing buy one, get one free on your favorite supplement. So now is the time to head on over there and stock up. Again, you're helping us when you support the alexjonesstore.com, fund the next operation. You know they're trying to shut us down. We are one of the very few going out there and trying to push back on these lies. We are face first in this information war. We've been talking about this for a very long time now. The rest of the mainstream media is now just catching on to what we've been telling you about for a very long time. So if you want to help us keep our doors open and keep the truth getting out there, you got to head on over to the alexjonesstore.com and support our efforts to do just that. I almost forgot to mention, there was this political article, and it's quite interesting because Politico is trying their very best to run defense and to say that Josh Hawley falsely says that the FBI tapped senators' phones during Jack Smith probe. Isn't that something? Isn't that something? The level that the mainstream media will go to defend the deep state operatives is pretty impressive. One must assume at this point that they have somehow, some way infiltrated themselves into the mainstream media. I remember being at one outlet, and I have an NDA, so I can't say names. It's not like an NDA. It's like an agreement, I should say. But they would pitch things to you and go, that's pretty strange. Why are we being forced? It was mandatory. It wasn't even a pitch. It's mandatory to cover a certain story. It was about like a Democrat who was running for Congress, and they want us to run the ad on all shows. I'm like, well, that's strange. Why would we run this ad? Our audience doesn't like Democrats. And then you're like, who is this person who's telling me that this is mandatory to put in the show for today? And then long behold, you know what it is? It's someone who really doesn't have much in the way of media experience, but they somehow made their way to a top position, which was a position that forced you to have to comply with whatever they said was content that needed to be on your show. And so it's one of the many layers that go on throughout the mainstream media. And I was always scratching my head wondering, how do these people end up in these positions? They're the ones telling me what I have to cover every day. It's why I didn't last too long over there. I think every year I would transfer to a new company just because I'd sit there and go, this has to get better. Again, no one controls the content on this show. This is just purely me. But on the mainstream outlets, yeah, they tell you what you got to say. They tell you what you have to cover. Even if you know your audience won't like it. They're like, play that campaign video. It was insane. It was insane. That's what's going on though. You know, all in the COVID vaccine mandates that were forced upon employees, that purged out a lot of the free thinkers. Obviously, I lost my job over at Fox over it. But there's a reason why those things work. They work if you're somebody who works for the intel community and you want to make sure that those that comply are the only ones who are still employed by these companies. And I wasn't the only one to walk away from Fox. There was others who did, but they weren't going to go public. They figured maybe I'll go back and get a job over there later. Obviously, going public with something like that, it has its consequences. It has its consequences. You know, Fox has, they won't directly throw anything my way, but they definitely have done a lot behind the scenes to make sure that my career, or try to make sure my career won't succeed. In fact, they purchased the company that used to stream my show, and then 2 weeks later, my show got canned. And I was told that, no, you're fine. Don't worry about it. They knew that you had a show with us. Fox is one of the many companies that I have an issue with, but again, it's endless. They control the media. They control the narrative, and there's very few people who are bold enough to stand up to it. Many people had the same story as I had. They just decided not to tell it. All right, Kristi Noem was in Portland yesterday, and we're going to dive into this a little bit because in clip 6, Noem said that she met with the Portland mayor, and it's very, very interesting to hear how that interaction went. Take a listen.
Asked if I wanted to meet with the mayor, and I said, absolutely. Came back and just met with the mayor, and I'm so extremely disappointed. He's continuing to play politics. I did not commit to any of those promises and said that he'd give me an answer by tomorrow, and I'm hopeful that he will. What I told him is that if he did not follow through on some of these security measures for our officers, we were going to cover him up with more federal resources and that we were going to send 4 times the amount of federal officers here so that the people of Portland could have some safety. They could have some security. Today, Jesse, we went and got a sex offender off the streets here in Portland that had been violating minors. And we're going to bring him to justice. And this Portland mayor tried to brag about him making our streets safer. No, absolutely not. It is our federal CBP and ICE officers that are cleaning up this city. And every single day, they're going to stay dedicated to doing that.
So none of these officials thanked you for getting these pedophiles off the street?
They said that they were glad that that was happening, but that they weren't going to change their posture.
Oh, isn't that interesting? They weren't thrilled, I'm sure, when they had to get rid of their pedophiles. Folks, this is what we're up against in Portland. And I have to give credit when credit's due. Kristi Noem making her way to Portland was great. But I love the fact that she gave independent journalist Nick Sorter a front row ticket to everything that happened yesterday in Portland. He was there to cover it all, filming it, posting it online. And it was very impressive to see. He had a front and center, I guess, viewing of all of this. And this is what you want, because they thought they could go after him. They could shut him down, arrest him. And there he is, covering Kristi Noem, grilling not only just the mayor, but also the chief of police, the person who wanted to lock up Nick Sorter. Best part is Nick is just there filming as they are forced to look the other way. I mean, the police chief was like not trying to make eye contact with Nick. That's what it looked like from the videos I was seeing online. They fear him now, because obviously Nick comes with accountability. He's going to demand accountability for everyone who went after him, and we're excited about that. We had his lawyer on the show yesterday, and they're not done with Portland. They're not done, and we're thankful for that, because again, folks, the First Amendment is very, very clear. Nick had every right to be there, of course, and be front and center, and to be walking down a public street. Antifa had no right to assault him. In fact, he's been assaulted now 3 times, and we are thankful because DHS, as you see, the DOJ, Pam Bondi calling him, now the Civil Rights Division, Harmeet Dhillon getting involved in that too, but also President Trump texting Nick. This is very important that we talk about these things, because Nick's just trying to capture what it's like for an independent journalist in these streets of Portland, and obviously they're not very welcoming. Now, as Kristi Noem was up there too, and I love the fact that she brought Nick with her on everything. This is great. There's like a guy in a chicken suit. Very strange. My sources tell me he's really not well in the head. But they were all down there protesting. We don't mind peaceful protests. Even Noem saying that. But once you get violent, we're not going to allow that to happen. We're not going to allow that. So thankfully, Noem was front and center in that. We'll keep diving into her visit yesterday to Portland, because she got a couple of interviews. She's also apparently a journalist, because while perps were being arrested, and by perps, let's just say pervs, because there's one who's even admitting to abusing a child in a video that she took. Well, Kristi Noem is letting them know that they broke the law in this country, and we're going to make sure that they get out. We're going to ship them out of this country. So we'll play those clips for you in just a few moments. I'm excited, though, because Congressman Tim Burchett's going to be joining the program in just a few moments. Tim is one of the best. The fighters that we have in D.C. There's not many, but he's definitely one of them. And he's not very happy because he wasn't added to the list. So maybe because Cash Patel's holding on to some names, maybe he might end up on the list. Well, he'll be joining me in just a few moments to react to all things related to that. So do not go anywhere. There's more American Journal on the way.
The receiver from the state is coming here tomorrow. I'm going to be friendly, but they're here to start the shutdown of InfoWars. So for all of you saying, oh, you'll survive forever, well, they don't own the AlexJonesStore.com. That's why we're running the biggest sale in our history. Buy one, get one free of any of the incredible supplements, Ultramethylene Blue, the Shilajit, you name it. The problem is they didn't have big supplies to catch 22, so a lot of the sale has had to end because things have sold out at the AlexJonesStore.com, the last stand super sale, 20% on top of buy one, get one free. But we do have Ultramethylene Blue Liquid, the very best you're going to get, the Ultimate CMOS Gummies, the incredible super nutrient, amazing, and the Shilajit Capsules, the very best. Trilogy. All these are super complex nutrients. You're insane if you don't get them. Just like our information is powerful, these products are incredible. 20% off store-wide on top of those sales. And if you have the app that we'll put on screen, alexjonesapp.com takes you right to Apple. The Droid launches in a few days. Number one in news, the top 150 of total apps in the world out of 1.6 million. alexjonesapp.com. If you buy through the shopping cart on the app, you get an additional 20% off on top of the 20% off on top of the buy one, get one free at AlexJonesApp.com. It's a free app on Apple. Despite them trying to delist it and block it, it's still surging. The AlexJonesStore.com, access it through AlexJonesApp.com and get an additional 20% off on top of the 20% off on top of the buy one, get one free. And they're going to have to end the Ultramethylene Blue sometime probably tomorrow. Current sales rates is going to sell out. War comes in 3 weeks. They're going to have to end the CMOS gummies in about about 2 days. The Shilla G in about three. So everything else is basically sold out. So they're going back to regular price, and they'll be totally sold out in a few days, period. But that funds the operations. Well, thanks for your support. TheAlexShowStore.com. But you are insane if you don't try the Ultramethylene Blue. It will game change your life, and it funds the Second American Revolution worldwide. It's game time.
Today, we've got a great show lined up for you. Some incredible guests joining the program. So thank you for jumping on with us. Tim Burchett will be joining me in just a few moments. He's the incredible congressman from Tennessee. I always call him congressman. He says, no, call me Tim. He is just an incredible, incredible man and someone who we have fighting for us in D.C. I could say that with confidence. One of the very few, I think I can name maybe just a couple for you on just one hand, on who I truly believe are in this fight for the best reasons. And it's good to call him a friend, so he'll be joining the show in a few moments. But we were also joined by Senator Tommy Tuberville. And Tuberville joined the program today. And actually, I think it might have been breaking. I don't know if he said on any other shows. I've been trying to keep my ear to the ground on all of this. But he said that him and Senator Marsha Blackburn are actually going to be trying their best to get Jack Smith disbarred. And that's a big one, folks. As you know, lawfare was used against President Trump's personal attorneys, as well as Jeff Clark, who was working over the DOJ. They didn't like what they represented, and so they tried their very best to go after them. And so, yeah, I think it's warranted to disbar Jack Smith. Jack Smith was not operating according to the law. He was trying his very best to help Democrats advance their political agenda, keep President Trump off of the campaign trail. He failed. He failed big time, by the way. But he needs to pay the ultimate consequence, which is to being disbarred. He is an evil, evil person. And so we were excited to have Tuberville join the show today. That's a big one. Jack Smith should be disbarred. And I'm excited that the senator came on the program today to say just that. Again, we don't know exactly what their outline for a solution on all of this is. Tuberville telling us that he's kind of walking through it all and going to figure it out as they learn more, saying that they had a sit down with the deputy FBI director, and that Dan Bongino, of course. But they are learning more and more about all of this, and that's really the key point, the key element to this. Again, it wasn't just them. It was average Americans also being spied on. And I, like, hate saying average as if it's, like, kind of like a demeaning thing. But American citizens, people who aren't front and center in D.C., they were being attacked. And so it's pretty disturbing that this is all going on, but it's not surprising. You and I both know they were trying their very best to go after these great people. And it's interesting because when you look at the list of GOP senators that they targeted their phone records on, you know what's interesting? They're not MAGA. Right? There's a lot of rhinos on that list. And so when I sit back and was reading the list, I was like, why are they going after these people? I mean, that is why they tried to spread that net to see what they could capture. So again, we've got a lot that we need to get to the bottom of that on. We're also waiting for James Comey to shuffle his way into federal court today. He's supposed to be there now. James Comey, not arrested. He gets the luxury of getting a police escort still when he decided to do that 8647 post. He wasn't slapped in handcuffs and dragged in. No, they just came up, gave him a car ride, had him talk it out. And now he's just going to make his way into the courtroom voluntarily. It's double standards. Double standards. Susan Crabtree is also going to join the program in just a little bit as well. She is doing incredible, incredible work. And she has been sifting through a lot of the details regarding the declassified documents that we spoke about yesterday on the program, in regards to Joe Biden, his family, and their connection to Ukraine, the business deals, how aggressive they were with making sure that didn't get out. So I'm looking forward to detailing that for you as well. Also, I want to remind you guys, we're going to be taking calls. So if you'd like to give us a ring, feel free to do so. 877-789-2539. It's like a jingle now. 877-789-2539.
We'll be taking your calls in the second half of the program. I look forward to hearing from you, so give us a call. And we'll try to keep everyone, you know, a little tight. I know that there was a long list of people who were trying to call in the other day, and I always feel bad. I always feel bad. So give us a ring. We'll try to get to all of you. All right, the congressman's going to be joining us in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. We got more to unpack in just a few moments.
I was hoping you had some of the Alex Jones ones. How is Alex?
He's great. He lost a lot of weight.
I saw he's getting like, yeah, he's ready for the next
My friend
big.
Sean Johnson's training him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, he gets up every morning. He works out for hours. He's lost, I think he's lost 70 pounds at this point. Hmm. He looks fantastic, man.
Yeah.
He looks fantastic. He looks like he's 20 years younger. People think, this is really funny because, you know, his whole business is conspiracy theories. conspiracy that Alex has been replaced.
Yeah, yeah.
But listen, folks, that's real Alex. I've watched every step of the way, and my friend trains him. So I can tell you for a fact, that is the real Alex Jones. Quit drinking, quit eating bad food. He's eating healthy food now. He works out every day. It's like no Ozempic, no bullshit, no shortcuts. He did it the right way. Looks great.
You find it all at thealexjonesshow.com, and it funds the most hardcore patriot organization worldwide, absolutely devastating the globalists in our peaceful information war.
Holy shit, he was right about every step of the way.
Welcome back to the American Journal. I'm excited that you're all joining me today. We've got a lot to unpack. As many of you guys know, in the last hour, we spoke with Senator Tommy Tuberville because he found himself on a list when the Biden regime was spying on him, trying to gather his call records. Well, Tuberville telling us that it's not over. And in fact, that him and Senator Marsha Blackburn are going to try their very best to get Jack Smith disbarred. That's one of the first moves they look to make. So we're excited about that because we need consequences for what took place. But folks, we're learning more and more about what actually happened, and we're going to play clip 20 for you because it's the FBI director, Kash Patel, saying that these senators that were targeted, they're not criminals, but they were somehow, some way on a list for the Biden regime. Take a listen.
Step back and think about it for a second. You have, as you now know of, eight sitting United States senators whose phone records were subpoenaed by the Department of Justice in the prior administration for what? For what purpose? None of these senators are criminals. They have no criminal activity associated with them whatsoever. Why did the Department of Justice and Jack Smith go in there and authorize subpoenas? And it's not just them, there's others. And so what we're doing in our transparency, in our commitment to transparency and our initiative at FBI and DOJ is putting the records out, providing them to Congress, letting them conduct oversight. But we will also internally investigate those involved. We've already disbanded the public corruption squad at WFO. We've already jettisoned these people at the FBI that were involved in the politicization of law enforcement. And if there needs to be a criminal investigation, you better believe it. We're on it.
Yeah, there needs to be accountability for all involved. Joining me to discuss is Congressman Tim Burchett. He is one of the incredible individuals over in D.C. fighting for Americans, and it's an honor to have him on the program today. Congressman, you know, I saw your post, and you have not yet been notified about being on this list. It seems like, though, if you do make this list, that it's kind of an endorsement from the deep state because they don't like the people who have been fighting for the American people, for the presidents. So, but we're told by Kash Patel that there's still more names to drop. I just wanted to get your overall reaction to the news that they were going after the calls of these GOP senators.
Marsha Blackburn and Senator Hagerty from my state were both subpoenaed, or it's not subpoenaed, they were both illegally. I guess their phones were tapped or whatever. I find it kind of odd these two. You know, they're about as square as they come, as they used to say, they're clean as a hound's tooth. I mean, these are the type of people that you'd sit beside in high school because they took great notes. You know, I mean, they're not calling Xi Jinping. They're not calling, Middle Eastern terrorists. They're not organizing riots. Yet you could probably find Democrats who were. And that's very troubling to me that they were allowed to do this. And you got to ask yourself, they're doing this to United States senators. Goodness gracious, who else are they? What are they doing to the average American citizens? And mm-hmm. So I think it's time we get to the bottom of it. This thing's a rat's nest. I've always said Washington isn't a swamp. It's a sewer.
Yeah.
Swamp, something pretty cool. A sewer is man-made and it stinks.
It does stink. And the point, when I was looking at the list of names, I wouldn't say that these are a bunch of MAGA Republicans. These are people who have been pretty down the middle for a very long time now. Even Dan Sullivan, Senator Dan Sullivan, was someone who I was kind of shocked to see that he was on the list. But those who pretend to be journalists and they're actually helping the deep state get their message out, there's one reporter over at MSNBC who's saying that they were just looking to see how or when they were communicating with President Trump, because this was all supposed to be part of the J6 criminal trial and all of this. Tuberville just joining us just a few moments ago, the great senator from Alabama, and he said, too, that, you know, he didn't get any records from his phone company when this happened. So he's a little alarmed by all of this. What's your reaction to that? Because even those, I mean, I remember when I was covering the whistleblowers, FBI whistleblowers, they were investigated after they made disclosures to Congress, and there weren't many people who came and helped them out. But I mean, they at least knew that the DOJ was looking into them because they received those subpoenas. So what's your reaction to hearing that they didn't even know that this was happening behind the scenes?
You have collaboration with business, and that means they're compromised as well. This thing is a complete rat's nest, Brianna. There's so many federal laws that were broken. They need to bring those people in, the head of those corporations, and answer the question. But what you got to do is go down the rat hole deep enough to find out why this special prosecutor, who is whispering in his ear that these six or seven individuals should be investigated. And then I think you're going to find a money trail. I honestly do. I think there's going to be somebody behind the scenes. Because Obama, is probably some of his people that were left over in Biden's administration. But the Biden administration, Biden was clueless. I mean, he can claim mental capacity on this whole thing because he was an invalid most of his 4 years, in my opinion. So, and you know, I remember when I said that and I got banned from one of our conservative TV stations for a long time, for about a month. And then of course now it's just common knowledge, you know, but the thing is that we've been a rudderless ship for so long. And this is obviously just getting at Donald Trump and who behind the scenes was doing this to get to Donald Trump. And, who's the money supporting it? Who's doing all this? And this is clearly an attempt there. It's nothing more, nothing less. And we're going to see more of this if we don't get this cleared out. I wish that they would have some very successful friends in the beer business, and I'm not a drinker, but they are, they went into a town and bought a distributorship and they fired everybody. And then they rehired the ones they needed. And guess what? They only needed about a third of them. So I wish we could do that at the FBI, but of course you've got too much of intelligence. You've got too many secrets. You've got too many compromised people, and that would never happen there. But I wished we could see that happen.
Yeah. And, you know, we hear from FBI Director Kash Patel saying that he is working through getting rid of those people who have been, they've been able to push their way to the top of the ranks just based on their political partisanships. And, you know, they're trying their very best to go out there and get rid of these people who shouldn't be in these high level positions. It's going to take a very long time for that to happen. But I wanted to also ask you, because I think this is really, really important to discuss, the shutdown that's still going on right now, because we're well over a week into this, and Chuck Schumer continues to lie to the American people because he's the one really holding this up, by saying that Democrats aren't fighting for illegal aliens to be put onto our health care. In fact, President Trump now in clip 21 that we're going to play for you is very optimistic about the layoffs that might possibly be taking place because he thinks it's going to be a way to trim all the fat. Take a listen.
How many permanent jobs are you talking about?
Well, I can tell you. I'll be able to tell you that in 4 or 5 days if this keeps going on. If this keeps going on, it'll be substantial. And a lot of those jobs will never come back. But you're going to have a lot closer to a balanced budget, actually.
Congressman, I know you're a big supporter of DOGE, even helping out with all that was going down. So President Trump says a lot of permanent jobs that weren't really necessary are probably going to get cut. Your reaction?
Good. That's all I got to say. Good. Cut them. We don't need them. This is just fat. You know, this is federal employees. A lot of times you see in these administrations are just Democrats going for some place to land.
Yeah.
And they just a circular pattern of paper shuffling, and America's sick of it. And they know what this shutdown's about. They know it's about providing health care for illegals. The shutdown talk about the ACA or Obamacare. If that's the case, then why'd the Democrats vote for it? why did they make the funding temporary? Why did they vote overwhelmingly to bring it back to Congress to where we had to okay the supplement for it? And that supplement's over $1 trillion for some sort of affordable health care. They lied to us about Obamacare. You couldn't pick your doctors. You couldn't, you couldn't shop around. You were just stuck and your, and premiums doubled, in some cases tripled. And who's getting fat? The insurance companies and the drug companies. And who's getting the proceeds from that? Just go read some of the Democrats' financial disclosures, and you're going to see where their true loyalties lie.
Yeah. No, that's a big one. That's a big one. And a lot of them, too. And I guess we could talk about this as well, because I know you're passionate about when it comes to stock trading in Congress. But a lot of them have been bankrolling in stock trading. And I think that's what's getting a lot of Americans really infuriated, because when we elect officials to represent us in D.C., we're not electing them to make them richer. We're electing them to help us out. And so many haven't done just that. And they get these committee assignments, which the process of getting being allowed to join a committee is pretty, I would say, corrupt, and having to kind of fundraise and pull together some money for these committee assignments. But you are someone who is against, obviously, stock trading, and you're right about all of that. What's the update on your efforts to try to stop members of Congress from doing that?
Well, as individual stock trading, I'm against. You want a mutual fund, get my buddy Tommy Seiler. He managed my $12,000 portfolio till I had to withdraw it to pay for my daughter's school this year. But that's where I'm at on it. You know, we've been told by leadership in both parties that, you know, this could cause the downfall of our civilization or something. I mean, literally, it's that strong. It's that ridiculous. And you know what? If you're making 400 or 500% on the stock market, you don't need to be in Congress. You need to be on Wall Street somewhere. Yeah, there's Speaker Pelosi. Oddly enough, in the top 10, she's not even in the top 10 of some of the worst abusers of this thing. And she's like number 11. Go to the website Unusual Whales. I made no friends in Congress because of this, but it's obvious. When the United States government gave our missile defense system to Ukraine under Biden, members of the committee that oversaw that had at both sides of the aisle had stock in our missile defense companies and had bought stock within 2 weeks of that decision. So we had to go back and immediately they had to buy a multi-billion-dollar no-bid contract through these missile to replenish our missile defense system. And, I mean, that just tells you how shady this whole thing is. And let's be honest, Brianna, they're not going to let it get passed. Trump wants it. The Department of Treasury, head of Treasury has come out in favor of it. And that's why Anna Paulina Luna is going to bring my bill to the floor eventually. Just try to, anyway, to surpass the our bungling leadership on both sides of the aisle. They don't want to end this. They don't want to stop this thing. It's a wink and a nod. You know, it's interesting. I make skateboards. It's, like I say, it's cheaper than a psychiatrist. I gave one to Tulsi Gabbard a couple weeks ago. And people are calling me all over the country saying, Burchett, I love you make me a skateboard. So I go talk to ethics. And guess what? I got to have a business plan. And right here it is. And I've got a part of it. And I have to hire an attorney. You know, if you want to trade insider stocks, insider stock trading, go to Congress. If you want to make skateboards, hire a dadgum attorney.
The levels of stupidity are truly endless. Yeah. And I remember seeing this actually because I popped into your office a couple of weeks ago. And this was a beautiful board that you made for D&I Tulsi Thanks. Gabbard. I must say it was actually very impressive. So I love this idea, and I love the fact that you're pursuing this, because again, it's therapeutic and it's very important, because there's a lot of things that you're going to need therapy of when you're in Washington, D.C. Before you go, Congressman, I wanted to ask you, because we just got word that James Comey has just officially pleaded not guilty to the criminal charges he's facing right now about making a false statement and obstructing Congress. So what's your reaction to this? Because he was able to stroll right in today and to face these charges. Other people like Roger Stone had to be arrested, or didn't have to be arrested. They were arrested by dozens of armed agents at their front door at 6 a.m. So your reaction to the news?
Total disgust. They should have perp walked him just like they did our friend Roger Stone. That's disgusting. He's an old guy. He weighs 70s. I guess he's still pretty tough guy. Pulling out of there in his underwear, he's got to stand out humiliated. CNN was alerted to it.
Yeah.
You know, this is just the level of depravity that we've allowed to. And this is what happens when 12% of the population votes. You know, those guys are going in there like they're busting some drug kingpin. And it was, Roger, I don't even think the guy even owns a gun. I don't know how you get by in this society without owning a dadgum gun, but Roger did. And so he gets mistreated by the system continuously. And then we allow somebody who's an inside swamp guy just to walk. And this is, he'll probably, I have no faith in our justice system right now. It's too deep. We have not done enough to fix this thing. It is pathetic. And we need to clean it up. America should be outraged.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
There it is right there. I mean, that guy's handcuffed. Give me a break.
Yeah. And his wife was battling brain cancer at the time as well. And so that makes it even worse.
So-called lying to Congress or something. What about Congress who lied to Congress? I mean, my gosh, there wouldn't be anybody left. I mean, a couple of us up there doing nothing. But this whole thing is just bogus. The whole thing is just complete nonsense.
Yeah. 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 No, it really is. And to see that he's going to, I mean, these are light charges. He's done significantly worse in my personal opinion. And so, I hope this is just the beginning. We'll see as it all unravels. But I want to thank you, Congressman, for joining us today. It's always great to catch up with you. So thank you.
Thank you, ma'am. It's always a pleasure. And it's always great to be on your show. Every time I'm on with you, I'm out in the countryside and people, a lot of these country folks ask me about you. So you're doing well. So keep hitting it and please be safe.
Thank you. You as well. And I appreciate it. And, thank you to all those in your area who watch. We appreciate, of course, your constituents are the best. We love people.
I did want to tell you my campaign manager, Thomas McAfee, he's got a mullet and he's a little younger. I think he met you at the convention. I think he has a crush on you, but anyway, and I told him you can aspire for somebody like Brianna, but I don't think he got a shot. But anyway, I just told him I put in a plug for him. He's good looking. He's fairly successful. And he's got a pot full of money and you can take all that from him.
Wait a minute. Wasn't it just his birthday? I feel like I saw a post about this.
Yeah. Yesterday, the mulleted one. That's his birthday. It was yesterday. So there he is. There's Thomas. That's not really a very great picture. That's my big goal. He was holding it for me, but I took the picture. Anyway, he's got some guns. He's a good young man. He's a fine Christian young man, and we love him.
Well, thank you, sir. We'll definitely have my best investigative producers look into Mr. Thomas, and we'll get back your team. So thank you, sir.
Thank you, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Poor Thomas getting doxxed right now. Oh, man. Congressman Tim Burchett is one of the best. I mean, truly, what I tell you guys that there's a very few Congress members who I would have on the program. I mean, he's one of them, and it's always an honor to catch up with him. He is my favorite because he always knows. He always has the best, punchiest lines, but then he hooks you up with his staff, so that's even better. So we're excited to have him on the program today. Folks, I want to remind you all that we were watching as James Comey made his way to federal court earlier this morning. He has pleaded not guilty on allegations that he made false statements and obstructed Congress. Now, the former FBI director, according to Fox News, made his first appearance. He walked in, was there at 10 a.m. Eastern time, and he was there, it looks like, with his wife as well. We're continuing to watch as it all unravels, but the judge he appeared in front of was a Biden-appointed judge. Surprise, surprise. It's miraculous how these always happen, right? Like, they always get, like, the cushiest judges in all of this. And so to see that it was a Biden-appointed judge, it's not really surprising. Comey was indicted in September, as many of you guys know, and we're still waiting to hear more. I don't know if we get a mugshot out of this. The fact that we haven't yet seen anything is pretty annoying for me. They made it their top priority in Fulton County to get a mugshot from President Trump. We should be doing the exact same thing. Hambani tweeting yesterday, of course, said no one is above the law. So again, and again, and again, we continue to talk about this, but we have not yet seen our mugshot. Once that happens, we'll let you know. We'll probably have some merch on that, too. Now, that's just me guessing. I haven't asked Alex yet, but I'm sure we can make some good merch on that one, as we should, as we should. James Comey, obviously, the beginning of the accountability tour. And again, I keep saying, you know, John Bolton getting his home raided. Yeah, that was cool. No criminal charges there yet. I just made up a word, by the way. No criminal charges there yet. But keep in mind, these aren't Democrats. These are people who are working under Donald Trump, obviously, under the first administration. But most importantly, these are individuals who were used. And again, I'm not trying to make them sound like the victims here, but you see how we're only going after the easiest ones? Right, we're not going after actual Democrats. We're going after, I mean, James Comey was a registered Republican. So just, you know, before you do a victory lap, realize what's actually going on here. We still yet have nothing of substance from the DOJ. But we hear that there's going to be grand juries, or there are grand juries going on all around the country. So we'll wait to see if this leads to anything. I mean, we want criminal charges against all involved. We're not going to settle for a couple of low-ranking criminal charges. People need to go to prison. People need to go to prison. I don't know how many times you need to say this. You know, every day I wake up in the morning and I put out a tweet that still no one has been arrested. I've been doing this for months now. Why? Well, because we have to remind ourselves that although you're seeing what it looks like accountability, you're not really getting accountability. You're not. You're getting the easiest individuals to go after. James Comey lying to Congress? Come on. You couldn't think of anything else? Now, again, I'm excited because this might be the beginning of something bigger, and I'm not going to sit here and say this is it. But we need to see a sign. We need to see something. All right. As we were just detailing prior to the congressman joining us, Kristi Noem was in Portland yesterday. And Kristi Noem is like switching. She's got many hats. She's got many hats. And one of her hats yesterday was she's kind of a journalist. In clip 7, she was actually interviewing illegal aliens that were captured by DHS. And it's interesting because she asked one illegal question. And this guy's like, let me go. Let me go. Take a listen.
Thank you. Let you out? Yeah. No, not let you out. You're under arrest. You're under arrest. Oh. Are you here in the United States illegally?
That is a wanted poster.
That's a criminal charge in this country to be here illegally.
Oh, it's a criminal charge. Oh, he didn't know that. You see, if it was a different administration, he would have, you want to get out? All right, we'll let you out. Doesn't
that
matter.
That would totally stop him.
Yeah, that would totally stop him. And in fact, it's so infuriating. This guy thought, he's like looking at Kristi Noem, he's like, you're kind of hot. You want to give me a freebie? And by that, I mean releasing. And it doesn't end there. Kristi Noem also going around. I mean, she's doing her best impression of what a journalist should be nowadays. She actually asked another illegal some questions, and she's interviewing him. And it turns out, he admits that he's actually a convicted sex offender. Take a listen to clip 8.
His name is...
Hello. I'm Kristi. I wanted to ask you a few questions. How long have you been in the United States? You don't know? No English?
¿Cuántos años tienes en los Estados Unidos?
¿De dónde sí?
¿Siete años?
Maybe.
How many times have you come in and I've gone out of the country illegally?
¿Cuántas veces has entrado a los Estados Unidos y te regresas de México?
Cinco.
It's five it's times. He's been here 7 years.
You've been here 7 years? When's the last time you went back to Mexico? And you're, is he convicted sex offender here?
Sí.
No?
¿Tienes cargos?
Here in Portland?
¿De qué?
Tengo probation.
Okay.
What was your crime in this country?
¿Qué fue?
Tenía una relación con una persona
menor. A minor? Okay.
You also know it's a crime to be here illegally, and you will be prosecuted for it, correct?
¿Tienes entendido que te van a dar cargos de arresto?
Sí.
Yeah, that's the kind of trash Kristi Noem is taking out, and so are the great folks over at DHS. Not surprising. Folks, there's more to unpack in just a few moments. Give us a ring. We're taking calls in the next hour, in the next half an hour. 877-789-2539. 877-789-2539. That's a New Yorker in Mega Talk real fast. We'll be right back.
I'm jacked up on the Methylene Blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue and the Ultimate CMOS on a monthly basis. Take about 5-year supplements. So it's been helping me out for the last 3 years, the last 22 pounds. feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I was honestly in the chat on Rumble, bashing, like, getting sick of Alex plugging it. But I tell you what, I'm like, you know what? I'm going to give it a try. I feel I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I was so bad with the MS. I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue is able to get everything that you're taking, all your antibiotics or whatever medicines you're taking, supplements. And what it does, it helps to cross the blood-brain barrier. Mm-hmm. Methylene blue will help things push it through to where it needs to go. I was at my store, and I keep the TV on in my store of InfoWars, and I heard Alex Jones talking about methylene blue. Well, right away, my ears perked up because I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I ordered two bottles of it because you had to buy one, get one free. So I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing. I take the capsules twice. I take two of those a day.
And you're saying with the methylene blue, you're taking it with ivermectin, and you're using our methylene blue, and it's kept you regressed, but now you're taking this, and you're back to being normal, or what's your level at
I'm
right
walking.
Now? Okay.
No, I'm, you know, I own a jewelry store, and I'm able to, don't get me wrong, I have bad days.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something, I'm walking without a cane.
Okay.
And the bad days that I may have, maybe like once every couple weeks, but I'm able to speak properly, where my everything was lagging with me.
Right.
The lesions were showing very bright in my brain. And when I started on the methylene blue, which I couldn't take the liquid. I bought the liquid, but I just couldn't get it down. And I was trying to find like a concoction, and all of a sudden the pills came out. So I ordered the pills. I take two of those a day. I've been taking that with everything else, with the ivermectin. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Well, that's great to hear. You know,
talk to you.
Because, you know, I'm glad to hear that. That really makes me feel good for, you know, the products that we offer to people. And, you know, the methylene blue, it really has been a game changer around here in terms of people getting it and seeing effects immediately, being able to to acquire that quality of life they want. And that's really great to hear.
I will put money on it. Like I said, I used to have to pay $10,000 a week to get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it.
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Thank you for sharing your story.
Thank you
for helping your family, too, because, you know, sometimes people, they don't want to tell their family. They don't want to say anything because then, oh, you're supposed to mind your own business and not tell people about health. That's a doctor's job, you know. But, no, it is our job to tell our families, hey, this is what I found out. This is what I found that works. Why don't you try it?
Welcome back to the American Journal. I like this theme song. I like it. It makes me feel very, very powerful. In case you're wondering, I've been reading your comments on Twitter, and I know a lot of you have suggested that I sit up on something. I'm now on a pillow, so I feel a little bit higher up today. For those of you also wondering, I'm only 5'3", so bear with me. I know a lot of you on social are like, Brianna, you got to be higher up. We know. Actually, Chris Cuomo tried to disrespect me one day and said that he thought I was only 5'2". But 5'3", I think it's average. Welcome back to the show. We're taking your calls this hour, 877-789-2539. That's 877-789-2539. Give me a ring. Something I missed that you want to talk about, vent a little bit. We're ready to hear from you, so give me a ring. I wanted to play this clip from Kash Patel before we start taking calls because I think it's really interesting, because Kash Patel made a very, I mean, this is a big figure. He says that there's over 110,000 gang members in the city of Chicago. Take a listen.
The juggernaut that is demolishing the weaponization of law enforcement and bringing it to places like Chicago. When I was there today with Todd, we learned that the Chicago city streets have 110,000 gang members. That's right. You heard me right. They had 1,200 shootings this year alone, 360 homicides. When politicians choose to side with those metrics and not their citizenry, thank God we have President Trump and this Department of Justice and this FBI going in there and crushing violent crime. And President Trump sent us into these cities quietly to set the stage, to set up for the National Guard, to see the success that we saw in Washington, D.C., in Memphis. The FBI has been leading the charge in every single one of these streets because we know how to gather ground-level intelligence, and we know how to put handcuffs on the bad guys, and we know that we have the backing of this administration. And most importantly, the agents at the FBI know that they have the backing of the American people and their government.
Yeah, it's pretty insane. Chicago is an absolute cesspool. It's sad because it's a beautiful city, and to hear what they're going through is really, really upsetting. I do love Chicago. I do think it's incredible. I love visiting there. And so you got to get those numbers down. I mean, the fact that there was 1,200 shootings this year alone, 360 homicides. You know, President Trump also today on Truth Social calling for both the mayor of Chicago, Brandon Johnson, communist, obviously, and the Illinois governor, J.B. Pritzker, to go to prison. He said jail specifically, but these people have intentionally allowed these cities to just become absolutely swamped by high crime. And so it's not really surprising. Folks, again, we're taking calls 877-789-2539. I'll jump on those lines in just a few moments. But I want to keep diving into the crime stuff because I think this is really important that we do just that. Chicago is obviously a cesspool. But yesterday, in case you missed it, we're going to play clip 11 for you because I thought it was really interesting. Really, really interesting. When Pam Bondi was being grilled in front of the Senate Judiciary Committee, Dick Durbin decided that he wasn't going to focus on what would benefit the people in his constituents, obviously. Instead, he wanted to focus on other things, and Pam Bondi called him out. Take a listen.
Your city has a murder rate 5 times higher than New York's. 571 homicides last year. If you were serious about protecting your people, you would be asking this administration for help. You're saying that we're coming into your state and your city. We're there to help make America safe and Illinois safe, whether or not you want to.
It's common sense. Americans have every right to be in their homes, to be in their states, and to be safe. The federal government's trying to do that by purging out all the filth, but obviously Democrats don't want that. All right, let's jump on some calls because I see the lines are blowing up. Again, give us a call, 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539. I'm going through the list. Got about 20 minutes, so we'll be doing this for the next couple of minutes. But let's jump into the first caller, Steve in Florida, because I hear you have a lot to say in regards to Comey's arraignment. So welcome to the program.
Yes, good morning. We're tired of the talk, President Trump and Cass Patel. People need to be given what Roger Stone went through. When you have the facts on your side with the Russia, pencil neck shift needs to be arrested. The Hunter Biden hard drive, all the facts, and all we get is talk. How terrible this is. When are people going to be arrested and charged and put orange jumpsuit? Enough is enough. This should have been done his first term with Antifa. That's the foot soldiers for the Soros ilk. Where are the charges with Soros?
Yeah, no, I think 1,000%. And, you know, these are the individuals who should be held accountable. They should be targeted in all
jail.
Of this.
We have the facts, Hunter Biden hard drive. Why isn't Cass Patel releasing the hard drive? It's called optics, proactive. And President Trump, stop saying, oh, these politicians, the last idiot in the White House, he's incompetent, he's stupid. They're doing this on purpose. You see what's happening in Europe? This is on purpose.
Yeah.
They create chaos, and they say, oh, we're going to come in and save it. And what is destroyed? The middle class on purpose. Communism. Stop saying, President Trump, progressives, Democrats. They have more in common with Fidel Castro, Maduro, Hugo Chavez.
Mm-hmm. Steve, you're...
The whole party is communist. The whole party is Bernie Sanders or meth head AOC or the wannabe mayor of New York.
Yeah.
And this is a result of all talk by Pam Bondi, the Fox girl, and Cash Patel and Dan Bongino when they were in the private sector pumping a book, government gangsters. Where are the FBI agents raiding Comey's house, communist John Brennan's house, Clapper's house, Susan Rice's house, Obama's house, the Fauci's house? End Fauci's pension today. They deceived the American people where it came from and who funded it. But no, you got Bill Gates sitting next to President Trump at the White House. You got the undershirt punk Zuckerberg. You got the head of Google across the table, palling around. Those are your enemies, President Trump.
Yeah. Yeah. Steve, I mean, they are the enemies.
We're tired.
Yeah.
But this President Trump, his first term, when he made that mistake, lock her up phrase by what when Alex Jones did that. I won, so I'll leave her alone. Well, how do you like that now, President Trump? Trying to literally kill you, destroy you and your family. All they care about across the aisle is power and controlling the American people. And that people are panicked. Oh, we're going to arrest you. They should be arrested. The commies in Chicago and Illinois. Johnson, the fat boy, Spitzer. Humpty Dumpty, another Jerry Nadler. Oh, they need to be, well, what are you going to, you're the president. You have the facts on your side.
Yeah.
Mayorkas, Merrick Garland, targeting American families, questioning when they go to school board meetings about what they're reading to their kids. And when they start reading those books at the school board commissions.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you can't read that in public. But, oh, all right, so it's the teachers already to read that filth.
Yes, Steve. I mean, you make a bunch of great points in all of this. I think the American people are frustrated. You know, I want to be hopeful and lay out and think that our federal government is going to do what it's going to do because it's what they were elected to do. Cash Patel, like you said, wrote the Government Gangsters book. He should know where to go from all of this. I'm being told that a lot of this is being held up over the DOJ, that the FBI, Cash Patel, and Dan Bongino are ready to bust a move on a lot of these people. And unfortunately, they're not receiving the support that they believe that they should be getting. And so we'll continue to follow it as it all unravels. But again, Steve, you make a ton of valid points. I think the American people have had enough, and that's the reason why we reelected President Trump yet again. So thanks for calling, Steve. Andrew in New Jersey, I want to get to you as well because you want to talk about Comey as well. So welcome to the program.
Comey, he's one of those, I used to play basketball, and he's like a foot taller than me. But Cortez, she would make fun of you for being short, but you're a giant, you know, intellectually. You and who is she making fun of us?
Stephen Miller.
Trump's. Yeah, you guys are amazing, and his brain is much taller than her brain. But I want to say Comey quick. He's one of those white guys that makes me look like Michael Jordan because they're almost a foot taller than me, but they're so bad athletically that I could out-rebound them and stuff. But Comey admitted that he leaked on TV. He had a press conference, and he was joking. I was going to leak it myself, but that would be like feeding seagulls at the beach to the media, so I gave it to my friend who's a professor. So he actually admitted committing the crime on TV. And my main topic was Obama, his ivory tower, his library in Chicago. He makes me sick because he says these kids often are forgotten. In Chicago, those are your policies. His policies block school choice, and also they take fathers out of the homes. And he said, well, I regret I couldn't get the Congress to pass gun laws. No, in Chicago, they have the strictest gun laws. Every shooting is illegal, and the guns are already illegal that are being used. But I wanted to touch on the school choice. When I went to Columbia High School in Maplewood, New Jersey, I was being dyslexic, put in lower-level classes. And it was mostly black students in those classes. And I saw how they got the shaft. Like, we didn't get a proper education. For the most part, got swept under the rug. And they would have the nerve to say, this student, they only read at whatever, a fifth grade level when they're in 10th grade. Yeah, but we're not being taught. So, like, we shouldn't be, you know, judged and our test scores are low, but they don't give us the information that's on the test. And one example, a science class, mm-hmm. we were given a test at the end of the semester, and miraculously everybody passes, but no one studies for the test. We don't know what is going to be on the test. It's just like a random test, and they pass you and slide you to the next course. Yeah. So blocking school choice while he sends his kids and he and his wife went to the elite schools, and they cause government take fathers out of the homes. So he just makes me sick. And even when he gives speeches like about the importance of having a father in the home, last example, where I grew up in South Orange, next to Newark, I saw the big difference between the two-parent homes, black homes, and I told that to the mayor of Newark, like, why, and Jim Brown at a rally that I covered for the news. I said, why don't you teach to have fathers in the homes? Because I lived in a black neighborhood right up the road, I pointed, and nobody shot each other. And lastly, with the mayor in Chicago, so out of touch, when I worked in the high-crime neighborhoods in Newark, not only do the parents want school choice, but they want police. Only criminals don't want police. I covered this shooting where the gang kids drove with an Uzi blasting random houses. They shot the other kid in the car, lit the car on fire. And it's all black people that are victims of the gangs. And they're horrified and they're mad at the mayor. Why isn't there more police presence? And I would always ask people, do you think there should be more police presence? And they would always turn and say yes. That was how I got them to talk. But it's just a fake news that, like, the people are against the police, only the criminals. And I give that mayor in D.C. credit, because even though she's a liberal Democrat, she supported making the city safer. She knows, like, common sense. But the guy in Chicago is so ridiculously out of touch. You have black constituents wearing Trump hats going into the city hall and confronting him. So he's, like, shockingly out of touch. But I just want to say thanks, and it'll be good to see at least some justice for Comey.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the beginning, I'm hoping, of the accountability tour, and so thank you for calling us. It's long overdue. It's long overdue, and we're thankful that it's just beginning to start up. Bart in Georgia, welcome back to the program. Bart, I hear you have a lot on your minds.
I'm getting distracted. First of all, you don't need to sit on a pillow. You're not talking too fast. Don't listen to your frenemies or probably other women trying to sabotage you. And you are doing better than Owen Schroer just by showing up and saying nothing. Anyway,
thank you,
James
Bart.
Comey, you're welcome. James Comey needed to be put in cuffs and have a formal arrest. But what I really want to talk about is Michael Byrd. Mm-hmm. He's murdered this woman, Ashley Babbitt. We need to say her name more. He's on videotape murdering this woman, and not even an investigation for obvious reasons by the Democrats. But and Fred Flintstone is governor of Illinois. But I'm done. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, Ashley Babbitt. My heart goes to her. I just this whole. It was avoidable. It was all avoidable. And Byrd is obviously protected. I think he might have been wrapped up in the pardons. I'm not 100% because I think he did testify in front of the J6 committee or behind closed doors. I have to look into that, actually. But, you know, at least this administration is treating Babbitt's family with respect. I did see that Ashley's mother was being, I think she was with Pete Hegseth and others. They posted that photo online. So I'm hopeful that she is... at least being respected by this current administration. But again, yeah, you're solid. You're right, Bart. So thank you for calling in on that front. I want to welcome in our new caller, Tommy in Indiana, because Tommy, it's your first time calling in. So welcome to the program. And I hear there's a lot on your mind.
Yeah, Brianna, you know, everybody's focused right now on the corruption at the national level. I can tell you from a personal standpoint, there's corruption at the local level where I live here. We had a fairground superintendent that was removed from his job because of a comment he made and a letter he published about a city government problem. You know, when people talk about retaliation, right here where I live, retaliation is real. And it is getting dangerous for people to actually run for office at the local level. It's not just in Washington, D.C. Brianna, the corruption is everywhere because there's elected officials here that probably need to be in handcuffs, but you're never going to see it because nobody wants to be brave enough to step forward. You know, we need you. We need Alex Jones. We need people like myself who are willing to speak out against this because, like I said, the corruption is even at the local level. All you got to do is dig for it. The proof is there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, 1,000%. I think that's why local elections are very important. But like you said, I mean, local elections get really, really nasty. They try their very best. I mean, you know, I talk to all my friends who are in politics and I try to stay away from political events sometimes because I just can't handle it. I just think that it's a mud bath and it gets really, really, and it doesn't pay well. It's literally just for a lot of the times, not everyone. A lot of people do run for local office because they truly care about their communities. But then there's some who just don't. There's some who are just so thirsty for power and authority and they have no problem going and running and trying their best to, create these issues. Actually, it's funny because I, New Yorker, obviously, and I was trying to potentially run for office in New York. I was going to run for the state Senate. And while I was going through some of the process, I was in the very premature part of all of this. They had me go around to all the committees and to just kind of meet and greet with a lot of the individuals, the chairman. And, one of them was telling me, they're like, oh, like, you know, we'd love to have you run for office, but, you know, you've got to commit to hiring my people to work on your campaign. And I said, okay, well, what's their background? Like, do they have a history of winning? Like, and they start naming candidates to me, but the candidates never won. And so it was a complete pay to play scheme, right? They'd endorse me as the candidate for the Senate seat while I'd have to, in return, hire their people. Now, again, I don't know what their agreement is with the individuals who they made this agreement with. But I mean, I'm sure there's some financial incentives there. So again, even on a local level, and even to run for New York State Senate, I mean, you need thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And you can't get it if you don't get the committee's blessing, if you don't get the county's blessing, the chairman's blessing. And so I think I had to go for at least three of them. And yeah, I just knew it wasn't going to work out. But it's the reason why even local politics are just so corrupt. And it's sad. It's sad. Because there are people out there who really want to fix this country and fix their homes and fix their communities. And what's the incentive? Tommy, I want to thank you for calling, and I know it was your first time, so we greatly appreciate it. All right, let's go to Dre in Chicago. Dre, welcome to the program. What's on your mind?
Hello?
Hi, Dre.
Oh, hey. I know you can hear me. But I originally called to plug the Methylene Blue, but then I was going to talk about some other stuff, too, like a racial subject.
Okay, let's hear it.
So what you want to hear, the plug first or the
talk about one? The racial divide first, and then we could go to your plug next.
There is. Okay. So, with the racial situation, I feel like on both sides, like black people and white people, it's a huge misunderstanding. Mm-hmm. And, like I heard, Harrison Smith talking about it before. And it, like, made me aware of how maybe a lot of other people may feel when he talk about how black people, what did he say? Basically, he was saying how we, like, complain a lot and, like, what's the word? Blame stuff on everything else and everybody else, our issue, our problems and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And I somewhat agree with him, but not 100%. I feel like he's missing a picture of, the history of the country in regards to race. And that's why it's still a big thing because black people have always been like on the back seat basically, well, in regards to the country. And that's like with any other race, like what is it? The Italians, the
Yeah, they didn't like my family in New York when they first came here from Sicily, that's for sure. Well, right. It's Argentina than Sicily. So yeah, I know what you mean by that. Well, that's why, Dre, and I think you make a great point. I think that's why those in the mainstream media and even on social media, they don't want us having these conversations. You know, when the BLM riots were happening, I simply said, and it wasn't even my most outrageous comment that I've ever made. I just said that if you're going to post about BLM, get it out of my timeline because it's a Marxist movement. And that enraged so many of my black friends to just cut me off, unfollow me, block me, never speak to me again. And so there's a fear of having open dialogue. And Charlie Kirk was great at that, reaching out to members of the community, any member of any community, and having a simple discussion. I think when you realize, when you start having those conversations, that alarming amount, actually, I would say, of Black Americans are actually conservative Americans, and they just don't even realize it because no one talks to them. You know, Steven Crowder actually goes to barbershops and will speak to members of the Black community, and a lot of them don't even realize that they are conservative, that they're not actually liberal until they have these discussions. So I think it's important to have an open dialogue on that, because once you start talking to one another, those on the left who are trying to create, and even on the right, I mean, even if they're trying to create some type of divide, it quickly just kind of alleviates that. So I think you make a great point there. We only have about 2 more minutes left. You had a second point that you wanted to make as well, right?
Yeah, just a plug. So my dog, he was about to die. He was like on his last breath, going to die. And I opened up one of the capsules of the methylene blue and put it in his water. And it was like adrenaline shot that that he took, because it was like instant energy. Like it was crazy to see. And yeah, I think I got a video too. I'm gonna send it in, but. Yeah, it was wild. That's all I had to say about that one.
Well, Dre, if you have that video, tag me on X so I can see it. That's pretty impressive. Now, I don't know, because I am not a veterinarian, so I will not say that it's good for dogs, but I will say that I feed my dogs home-cooked food, and I've got a 14-year-old Pomeranian, and he's still bouncing all over the place for some reason, like home-cooked, organic, like just like get rid of everything else, only go straight to the vitamins for these dogs. That seems to bring them back to life. I mean, he had like rotting teeth, missing fur, and a whole bunch of medical issues. So yeah, I mean, that's pretty impressive. We'll have to have Alex look into that. Yeah.
It was wild. It was like, because he was having seizures, I think, of what it was. And he was like really, really like out of it, to the point we was ready to put him down, but my mom wasn't, you know, that was her baby.
Yeah.
And so yeah, he was just gone, like no energy, just out of it. And then I had to lift him up to drink the water. Then as soon as he drank that first little drink, it's like it was like a bolt of energy, like just you could see it. He just started trying to get back up. And then within like I say 2-3 days, I say 2 days tops, he was like completely normal again, like nothing ever happened.
Wow.
And I was like, that's crazy, yeah.
That's amazing. That's great to hear. Dre, thank you for calling in today. That's actually really impressive. We're going to have to get on that. I was actually going to wait, but I was going to pitch that Alex should start making dog treats and dog food as well, because we could use a good line of healthy dog food for our pets. They're a family, and we have to treat them well. So thank you for calling, Dre. That was actually really, really cool to hear. Folks, I want to thank everyone who called in. I'm sorry we didn't get to everyone on the lines. I always try my best. We look forward to doing this later again this week, though, of course. So thank you for calling in. We've got a ton more stories. That doesn't make any sense, but we're going to let it run. We've got more stories on the way. Don't go anywhere. While you're waiting, though, head on over to the alexjonesstore.com. It's the last stand super sale going on right now. 20% off site-wide, plus BOGO. Not going to last forever. We've just got a couple more hours left on that sale, so head on over to the alexjonesstore.com and stock up while you can. We'll be back. More to uncover next.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures without it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and Boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
I do subscribe to the Methylene Blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the Methylene Blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
About 15 minutes ago, I took 10 drops of the Ultimate Methylene Blue. Definitely noticed my focus, cognition increased, good energy right now.
I must say that it does a damn good job.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the Methylene Blue. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexShowStore.com.
Here with us today. A lot to unpack and dig into as we kick off the third hour of the program. Time's just flying by. It is just flying, but there's so much to dig into, so much to dig into. While I'm talking to all of you, I get an email, and I think it's actually a really important one that we kind of highlight here, because Ken Paxton, again, one of, I would say, I think he's the best AG in the country. And you might want to debate me on that, but I think he is absolutely the best AG that we have here. Ken Paxton announcing that they've arrested 8 individuals, including 4 nationals connected to a Houston abortionist who illegally practiced without medical licensing. Okay, that's according to Paxton's team. Again, they have been indicted and arrested 8 additional individuals, it looks like. And that's according to them. It's in an area in Houston, it looks like. Maria Rojas is her name. And, Ken Paxton's office having her arrested, having all these others arrested as well. Again, didn't have a license to practice, apparently was, including illegal performance of an abortion. That's what they've been hit with, 12 counts. That's insane. That's insane. So that's developing. That's just coming in. Texas, doing all that it can do to hold these individuals accountable, if they catch them doing these abortions. You know, Ken Paxton's coming after you. And that's the reason why it's so important, Texas, because obviously Paxton running for the Senate, but Texas replace Paxton with another bold AG pick. And, you know, that's the reason why I am just so focused. I'm going to be so focused on making sure people like Aaron Reitz replace Paxton, because Reitz is somebody who is committed to carrying on the torch. Even Paxton knows that, and Paxton even endorsing him. So great work by Ken Paxton. That is a massive, massive story. So good on him. All right, folks, we head into this hour. I'm excited because we're going to be joined by 2 incredible guests. Suzanne Crabtree is joining the program. She is one of the great reporters over at Real Clear Politics. She's going to break down what we reported yesterday. As many of you know, when we opened up yesterday's show, it was very quick. We got the declassified documents related to Joe Biden and his corrupt dealings in Ukraine. Obviously, even the Ukrainian officials were like, this guy's pretty bad. This guy's pretty bad. And so you know what Joe Biden did? He made sure that no one knew about how awful he was. And he had that information suppressed. This was when he was VP as well. So keep that in mind. This wasn't when he was not at his mental best, whenever that was. But we're learning more and more. And so she's going to join us to uncover all of that today, as well as a couple of other stories she's worried about, like Secret Service and its relationship with DEI. She actually just dropped an exclusive report on that, and we look forward to discussing. We're also going to be joined by my girl, Mel Kay. Mel has spent years working in Hollywood, and there's a new film out, or there's a film out that has a lot of us scratching our heads because it highlights and also promotes left-wing violence. Surprise, surprise. So Mel's going to join us to sound off on that front as well in just a few moments. And we're also going to talk about Governor Ron DeSantis, because Governor Ron DeSantis is actually... And I know I tease a lot of people on X about this, the DeSantis 2028 ? But he is going out and he is speaking out on the Islam issue, which is a very important one that needs to be discussed. And so we'll talk about that too in this hour. So a lot underway. We're excited that you're all joining us today. And oh man, it's been a busy one, and we're excited to have you all here. We're also going to be calling out Caitlin Collins as well, because well, this is kind of a good story, I would say, because Caitlin Collins is openly admitting that there's a massive difference between this administration, Trump administration, and others. She's saying, you know, Obama, Joe Biden, like they didn't like questions. They didn't want to answer to the media. But she actually credits Trump for doing just that. It's almost unbelievable. She used to work for the Daily Caller. I think people forget about her days of sanity. So we'll be playing that clip for you because, you know, you got to just take a victory lap when you can. Also, Candace Owens releasing messages regarding Charlie Kirk. And, well, we just heard from Charlie Kirk's former producer that none of those messages are real. So we're going to talk about that in just a few moments. Don't go anywhere. We've got a lot more to unpack in this third hour of The American Journal. So stay put.
Well, 48 hours ago, our sponsor, Bigly, launched Alex Jones app. Go to alexjonesapp.com and go right to the Apple Store. It's number one in the world in news, surpassing X, and is racing into the top 100 of total apps in the world. Great job, everybody. This is a real shot across the bow for the censors. That is a big deal. I mean, we're ahead of Disney. We're ahead of Uber. We're ahead of everything. We're ahead of X. Number one in news in the world. Takes years to do that with an app. We've been number one before when they banned us, 2018. That took 5-6 years to get to that. Number one in 48 hours. Incredible job. Keep sharing the feed. You can't search it. They don't let you search the app, which every other app you can find. But you just go to alexjonesapp.com, and that takes you right to the subpage of the Apple Store. It's totally free. Right there, alexjonesapp.com.
Welcome back to The American Journal. Third hour kicking off right now. We've got some incredible guests joining us in the final lap of the show, so thank you for being with us. All right, yesterday it was kind of chaotic. As many of you guys know, we started the show off by getting word that there was new documents being declassified. And it was a complete madhouse over here because we're also trying to follow Pam Bondi. We're doing so much. And so I wanted to make sure that we really dug into the story regarding how Joe Biden, when he was VP, was so focused on making sure that he suppressed information from being released. And that information was suppressed, of course, because he didn't want the CIA or anyone really talking about his family's corrupt business dealings within Ukraine. And so they tried aggressively hard to shut all of that down. But folks, it's starting to come out. We're starting to learn about the levels of corruption that were happening behind the scenes. And again, remember, this was when he was VP. So I know a lot of people say, oh, well, I mean, it's probably when he wasn't well. No, this is when he was the sharpest. Keep that in mind. Joining me now to discuss is Susan Crabtree. She joins us as one of the incredible reporters over at Real Clear Politics. And I've been a very big fan of her work. She's been working aggressively hard on so many issues. We're going to dive deep into all of her reports that she has coming our way today, but we're excited to have her on the program. I wanted to ask you just to kind of dig through this report because, again, yesterday we were talking about it on the show, but we had to do a brief overview because there was so much happening. But, I mean, Ukrainian officials are literally saying that they were concerned with the Biden family business dealings. So what else have you learned?
Well, it seems like we all knew at the time that there was some, you know, crazy business dealings between the Hunter Biden and Burisma Ukraine, an energy company, and that he was on the board and was making millions. For what work? We don't know. We still don't really know. But his father, Joe Biden, when he was vice president, went over there in December of 2015, gave this big speech. It was a speech on anti-corruption, yet the people that were responding, the speech she was giving it to, was top-level Ukrainian officials, and they believed that he was corrupt himself, and his whole family, the Biden crime family, was corrupt. And that was the takeaway from what looks like a CIA intelligence officer. So the CIA director, John Ratcliffe, released this information yesterday. What happened, this report that they came up with in the CIA saying, you know, this Ukrainian audience was musing between themselves and saying, isn't this funny that Joe Biden's come over here to talk about corruption, but really his own family is the one that's corrupt. And guess what happened? the DNI director at the time, James Clapper for Barack Obama, shut that down, his whole national security advisor operation, and Joe Biden decided they weren't going to disseminate that particular report to President Obama or the rest of the national security team, that it was just a big cover-up.
Yeah. And, you know, a lot of us were scratching our heads when we saw Joe Biden running for president in the first place, because if you paid attention, you knew he wasn't well. And so you're wondering, well, why are they using someone like this as the front runner? And I think we kind of now understand why. He obviously, when he was in the White House, wasn't running the operations, but he was obviously very blackmailable. And one must think maybe that's what played into all of this. That's why individuals within the Democratic Party continue to push him forward and continue to, I mean, they were looking for him to run again for reelection. I mean, that's how insane all of this is. So when you're digging through it, it's concerning, but it's not surprising. Now, again, a lot of this we can't really do much about criminally, unfortunately, because the statute is up. Obviously, even Hunter has been pardoned. We don't know if that's legitimate given the auto pen scandal. So we'll have to keep digging into that. But what do you think what comes of this? Because again, it's just the beginning of what we've been learning, of course, and how deep the cover up goes. But we've known about this for years now, and there hasn't been much done on the federal level.
That's right. I mean, I covered Joe Biden for years. So to me, it was shocking that Barack Obama even tapped him to be vice president, because we all knew from covering him that he was this backslapper guy who his nickname was the senator from MBNA, which is a credit card bank company that he got his first house and some, you know, cozy deal from the MBNA lobbyist. So this goes back years. His brother was always corrupt. And so it was shocking to me that Barack Obama would pick him to be vice president in the first place. And then he runs for president. It's just unbelievable that someone that this compromised would do so. I thought he was going to run back against Hillary Clinton, but his son had passed away, so that deterred him. So he just never let the corruption, his reputation, prevent his ambitions. And nobody, the journalists in Washington, didn't call him out for it. Of course, I was part of the group that was trying to say, hey, this guy has been corrupt for years. He's a backslapper. He's just like kind of like this ideological, you know, morphing person. And that's why they liked him, because Bernie Sanders was getting ahead in that primary. And I covered that extensively. And so they needed somebody that wasn't so far left that actually could win the general. And that's how he won. Mm-hmm. So he just keep failing upwards. And the corruption just kept ratcheting it up every time he, you know, got one rung up on the food chain and the ladder in Washington. And it just, to me, the fact that he was cognitively incompetent during his whole, you know, tenure as president was just, it didn't surprise me, but the cover-up is what was just so extensive, and it was appalling.
Yeah, Suzanne, the only place you could fail up is in politics at this point, and that's the part that's so infuriating, because we constantly cover all of these failed politicians who have actually destroyed their community, and we'll get into Gavin Newsom in just a few moments, but they continue to fail their way up, and they're talking about Newsom being a front runner in 2028, which is scary. But I guess it highlights how bad the Democratic Party truly is right now. And like I said, we'll get to that in a minute, but you've just actually released a very interesting report regarding Secret Service and DEI. Now, I'm reading through a lot of this, and it's funny. It's not so funny, but it's funny because when I watch the NYPD officers who have now risen to the highest ranks within the agency, it doesn't remind me of the old NYPD days. And you kind of map this out a little bit in your latest piece. So walk us through this.
Yeah, so the Secret Service has been, you know, it's been a mess for years. I've covered it since 2012 during the Cartagena prostitution scandal. But now, you know, we had two assassination attempts on President Trump. So it's even worse than during the Barack Obama and Biden days, even though the problems were exacerbated because Biden put he was prioritizing DEI, and he had an executive direct order that prioritized it. And the Secret Service director at the time, Kimberly Cheadle, took it very seriously. So we had two big incidents over the course of several months, but there were many in between. But one last week at UNGA, at the UN General Assembly, you had an overweight African-American it was a UD officer, uniform division officer, not an agent, but still he was post watching and he fell asleep. And not only, this is allegedly, we have photos and I didn't use his identity. I wanted to take care to conceal his identity because I'm not interested in doxing these people because they do put their lives on the line for our continuity of government, protecting the president, the vice president, and the cabinet. But, you know, this kind of failure is systemic in the Secret Service, I believe, and my sources tell me. So he not only fell asleep, he left his fully automatic rifle unattended. And the NYPD officers reported him to their command center, the joint command center with the Secret Service that was, you know, governing the UN General Assembly. And this comes on the heels earlier this year of two African-American officers, female uniform division officers, getting into a cat fight, physical fight outside of Barack Obama's residence and using expletives that were recorded on the radio devices from the Secret Service. And I got a copy of that, those recordings. So these are two incidents that just to me are screaming, reform, reform, reform. Does the Secret Service need the same type of reforms that Pete Hegseth just announced for the military? These overweight agents, there's many of them. There's trans agents in the Secret Service, and there's this huge mess of DEI that was prioritized during the Biden administration that Sean Curran needs to clean up. And so far, it doesn't seem like he has.
Yeah, and that's the interesting part to this. I remember Chitley was ousted because of how awful of a job that happened under, you know, we remember Butler County, obviously. So that's the reason why she was tossed from it. But behind the scenes, I've spoken to people. They said that it's much worse than ever been reported, the type of job that she did. But one would think, I mean, he's been in his position as leader of Secret Service for, I'd say, a very long time now. And these are the type of root changes that could have been made. Are there at least, because you can't really tell sometimes because of the personnel decisions, especially with like the FBI, for an example, they're not allowed to tell you specifically what's being done behind the scenes, who they're firing. Does it look like there might be a little bit of changes happening behind the scenes over at Secret Service, or you're not hearing much?
Well, you know, he did announce some reforms. They created, you know, there was it's terrible problem with their drone system, right? It didn't go up that day at Butler. They had a mitigation system that didn't work. The guy was on the phone for an hour back with headquarters trying to figure out how to work it because he wasn't trained properly. So they did create that Air and Space Division, more research and technology because it's been lacking for years. The technological advances in the Secret Service has been abysmal. It's been a joke. So there is some reforms that we can see. And Sean Curran, on the anniversary of Butler on J-13 this year, said that he has instituted many of the congressional reforms that they were recommended. But, you know, it's hard to see that. The biggest problem I see right now is the training and the hiring standards have been lowered for years at the Secret Service, and there's a huge retention problem. But really, I'll have more information about these DEI problems that are just, you know, systemic in the Secret Service after Cheadle's reign. And then he just has left a huge mess. So right now they're having problems because they can't get rid of all agents while they are having a huge retention problem. And the demands have gone through the roof in this administration because Donald Trump is very active, unlike Joe Biden, as we just talked about. He travels all the time, and so does J.D. Vance. So there's way more demand needed from the Secret Service, yet they're having a huge staffing shortage at the same time. So they want to put out $50,000 for hiring and retention bonuses they're doing, but they're still having a huge problem. So unlike the military with Pete Hegseth, he's having an application surge. The reverse is happening at the Secret Service, so they can't get rid of their DEI problem right away. This is what I'm being told by multiple sources in the Secret Service. So it's still being plagued by, you know, it's not a meritocracy anymore. It used to be this vaunted agency, you know, that we all remember from movies and, you know, In the Line of Fire and all of these wonderful Hollywood films that depicted them as just this, you know, fighting machine and protective machine. But now, it's a shadow of its former self.
Yeah, yeah. It's not surprising. I want to learn more about how they're going to correct these issues, though, because this is important. You know, when we sat there and watched what happened in Butler to President Trump, I mean, his head was fully exposed, and that in itself was a massive, massive alarm that things needed to be fixed quickly. And then we saw there was a second attempt as well. So, again, this should be a top issue. And obviously the president who appointed the leader of Secret Service now, because he was there that day, obviously is confident. So we'll see. But this should definitely be a top priority. I wanted to take things to California because this is really, really interesting. I keep saying I can't believe the left really wants to kind of make Gavin Newsom their front runner for 2028. I kind of thought it before he was ousted that it would be Andrew Cuomo potentially, but it looks like it's Gavin Newsom. And you actually have a book that I want to highlight for our audience, Fool's Gold, the Radicals, Con Artists, and the Traitors Who Killed the California Dream and Now Threatens Us All. This is a good one because it also kind of works with the news story that you just recently put up on Real Clear Politics in regards to the power grab in California right now in regards to redistricting. Now, I live in Texas, and so I know that we're trying to get our maps utilized before the midterms, but there's a lot happening in California as well. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. The Republicans out here are on pins and needles because they're really concerned that, you know, it's a one-party system and they're going to take with this redrawn maps that Gavin Newsom is trying to push through. He's spending close to $300 million on a special election when he's, you know, decimating. He can't give firefighters in the state a raise, but he can spend $300 million on a special election to decimate the Republican Party's representation in Congress. So he's saying it's a counter to Texas, but it's against California's constitution. It's actually unlawful here. There was a citizens redistricting commission that was passed in 2008 that the citizens approved of. So now all that's getting wiped out because you have basically Gavin Newsom this is going to be his big test for the White House. If he can, you know, reduce the number of Republican members of Congress in California from 9, we only have 9 out here, to 2 or 3, then he thinks that he can ride that. He can just ride that one right into the White House, and that will be his huge success for the party. And guess what? It could play a huge role in who controls Congress and whether Donald Trump is impeached or not.
Yeah. Isn't that interesting? He's supposed to be the defenders of democracy. That's what they always call themselves. And here they are trying to make sure that the American people don't have any say. Also, it's worth noting that these are the states that are counting illegal aliens on their census so they could garnish more representation in D.C., of course. So they're not real fans of democracy. Crabtree, I want to thank you for joining the show today. You did an incredible job of breaking all of this down for us, but you do this all the time over at Real Clear Politics. And so we're very grateful for you joining the program today. Thank you.
It's absolutely my pleasure. I love your work and keep it up.
Thank you. I love your work, too. You've done an incredible job. And so it's great to have you on the show today. Thank you, folks. All right, I want to shift things over because we've got a lot to talk about in regards to Governor Ron DeSantis. Now, I know a lot of you jump on me on Twitter, and I do this kind of, I want to poke the beast a little bit. I said, DeSantis 2028? No. You guys weren't having it. The comments were pretty entertaining. But the reality of it is Ron DeSantis is calling out what's been going on in this country for far too long. We've been importing people from countries that hate us. And as a result of all of that, we have violent protesters who are, I mean, literally screaming in the streets, death to America. We've somehow, some way brought them into our country. And that's thanks to open borders, of course, and a lot of other policies that took them in. And we didn't do enough vetting. And so now we're stuck with these people in our country. But Governor Ron DeSantis is one of the few, again, calling it out. And that's the reason why I've been his biggest supporter when it comes to that, because hear me out. I lived in Florida during the COVID pandemic, and he was one of the very few who was bold enough, actually, I think the only one who was bold enough to get rid of the shutdowns, the face mask requirements, and then not to force the vaccines, and I shouldn't call them vaccines, the jabs, onto Florida residents. And that was like the key point of all of this. And I really sat back and watched. I was working in local news at the time, and watched as he gave these press conferences. And although, yeah, a lot of you say he's very awkward, none of that matters to me. He was bold enough to take a very unpopular take on all of this and to implement it in Florida. I mean, they were literally saying that we were all going to die on beaches because we were going on beaches. We were sitting in close proximity to one another on these beaches. And the mainstream media thought we were all going to die because of it. Now, that wasn't the case, obviously, in Florida. Started thriving, and other states then caught on and jumped on board. But he is a leader when it comes to that. And you could say whatever you want about him, his awkward boots, maybe you don't like his wife. I think his wife is great. But again, this is the kind of person you want in a leadership position, one who isn't afraid to take risks. And I love this tweet that he goes on saying, the suicide of the West right here in America, calling out these pro-Palestinian protesters. Again, he's calling out the immigration policies that this country has indulged in, which has completely flushed out the patriots. It almost feels like when you watch these videos. I mean, there's more people in the streets who are simply, as they say, expressing their First Amendment rights, but they don't like your rights. And if they had it their way, they would completely destroy the Constitution. And we hear them even just making that argument that they don't want the Constitution anymore to be the rule of the land. We're battling evil here, folks, and we continue to import people from countries that hate us. And then we all turn around and wonder why, when we give them the opportunity to protest, they're screaming and chanting, death to America. We need mass deportations. We need to make sure that these people lose whatever type of citizenship, residencies they have. Just get rid of it all. Get rid of it all. Somebody could tell me it's a little extreme. But I've had enough of people who hate this country. The only reason why they're here, those that are chanting death to America, is to destroy us from within. And Governor Ron DeSantis understands just that. All right, let's switch gears a little bit because we told you we'd talk about this. Candace Owens exposing text messages, which according to those involved have now been proven to be factually true. And I'm going to play you this soundbite. But ultimately, Candace Owens exposing the fact that Charlie was looking to leave the pro-Israel take on all of this. And as a result of all of that, his Jewish donors were pulling their funding. We're going to play clip 13 for you because that's Charlie Kirk's producer saying that those messages are real. Take a listen.
But I want to take the start of this show to address some of the things that have been going around on public, namely about a group text chain that has been made known and released by Candace Owens. And I just want to address it head on because that was a text grab, a screen grab that I had shared with people. So it is authentic. And I want to go into it because I actually am really excited that the truth is out there. I first want to say the reason I didn't share that screen grab publicly is because it was a private exchange. And I felt like it didn't necessarily comport with things that were already public. I wanted to not betray my friend's trust in that way. But I did share it with some people in government because it happened really quick. It was, it took 33 hours for authorities to get their suspect. And in those first moments, we wanted no stone unturned. We wanted to leave nothing unturned. So I shared it with a few people. Don't know where it went from there, apparently. But here we are. So one of the reasons, Blake, that I'm glad to have this now public, it was not mine to share publicly. But, one of the criticisms we've received is that we don't care. We're not investigating every lead. We're not looking under every stone. And that somehow we're just like, sweeping things under the rug. And when I say that we want justice for Charlie more than anybody else, I really mean it. And no stone unturned.
Well, it sounds like a lot of people owe Owens an apology. That's why you don't jump on a story first, because let's say you wanted to dismiss this report as fake. Well, now you owe Owens apology. I was waiting. I was like, they're going to talk about it soon. There's no way they could let this slide. And here you are. It's true. So good on Owens for publishing that, because that's important to have all perspectives in this. All right, guys, I want to remind you all, we have for a very limited time the Last Stand Super Sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. You're going to want to head on over there right now because it's only got a couple more hours left in the 20% off site-wide sale that's going on, as well as buy one, get one free on your favorite supplements. Now, again, this isn't going to last forever. It's a limited time, and now is a time to stockpile on all of your favorite supplements. Now, again, we don't know when they're going to be shutting the door. It could be next week. It could be today. So make sure you head on over to thealexjonesstore.com and buy, because again, whatever you support us with on thealexjonesstore.com helps us to the next operation that we're going to be launching. So please head on over there today. Mel Kay joining me next. Don't go anywhere.
So you were just telling me that you had a brain disease.
I started having seizures like a few years ago, and everybody in my family knows I'm a neuroscientist.
What did you do to fix it?
Methylene blue.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mel Gibson was on here talking about it.
This stuff works, man.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic.
What is Bobby Kennedy Jr. dropping into that glass of water?
Plenty of folks are wondering what was in that little bottle he uncorked during a flight.
Methylene blue.
Show her Kennedy taking it. Kennedy literally gobbles it.
He must be doing something right. That ripped bod is 73 years old.
You shouldn't have to tell a doctor about methylene blue. I think everybody should know about it. It's changed my life.
I was in a wheelchair. That methylene blue, I knew what that did for me. I knew that it got me up and walking again, and I was having seizures about it, and I was bad, really bad. So I ordered it. I started taking it, and boy, let me tell you something. What a blessing.
It clears the brain fog where you're actually able to focus more clearly.
For me, it's like a fog lifted, but it was like a veil lifted off, you know? Incredible. Best product that I've purchased so far.
It is a miracle. It's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
Let me tell you something. I'm walking without a cane. I take one pill a day of the ivermectin with the methylene blue, and I got to tell you, what a blessing. I am so blessed.
My kids take it. My wife takes it.
Everybody takes it.
I used to have to take, what, $10,000 a week?
Right.
To get it in my arm and sit there for 6 hours a day to get it pumped in my system. And now I can take two pills or drink it once a day and pay what? I don't know, $30, $40 a bottle of it?
Depends on what the sale is, yeah.
And it's helping me to have a quality of life that I didn't have before that I have now. And I got to tell you, what a blessing. I don't care what anybody says. I know what it's like with it, and I know what it's like without it.
Yeah!
I'm not paid to say this, not one dime. This is the best product you guys have ever had. You guys got to order it at the AlexJonesStore.com.
Our methylene blue, medical grade, made in Florida, is incredible. Cleans out your mitochondria, clarity, focus, energy. You've seen the rave reviews of every guest we've had on. It's game changing.
I feel like, wow, there's power in coalescing all your thoughts.
Did you hear our last guest, what she said happened to her?
No. What?
She said brain fog just lifted.
That's what it feels like.
I feel lighter. It's really interesting. I almost like feel smarter.
This stuff kicked in and it like instantly I just felt like this weird meditative energy. I don't know how to explain it. I don't feel jittery. I just felt like instantly like I went from 5 hours of sleep like I got last night to like 10 hours. I don't know how to explain it. This stuff's new to me, but I like it. Methylene blue works for me.
I feel it in my head and neck too. My brain's going really fast. I really like it.
Unlimited fabulous power!
Volunteer power!
You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus.
I do feel like it's eliminated the brain fog a lot.
I do subscribe to the methylene blue. Feel better. I feel like I'm 25.
Like I said, I've been taking the methylene blue, and it is freaking awesome. I actually subscribe monthly now to it, and I got a couple other people that I work with. I gave them it, and they did the same thing.
I'm jacked up on the methylene blue. It's the best thing you guys have ever had. Please go to the Alex Jones.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
I say it all the time, but there's so much going on in the world that we try to dig into, and we're gonna get a little bit into this one, because this one to me is very interesting, right? We talk about Hollywood, the Hollywood elites, and the first thing that comes to mind are people like Leonardo DiCaprio. When I think about people lecturing us about how we need to vote for Democrats and everything regarding the Green New Scam, they tend to lecture us about what we need to be doing rather than leading a good life by themselves. And I've had enough of a lot of it, but there's a new film out that's catching a lot of people's attention, and probably for the wrong reasons. It's interesting because it's for the director himself, Paul Thomas Anderson's new film, Battle After Another, One Battle After Another. This film is very controversial because it highlights and kind of promotes a little bit of left-wing violence. It's something that the left tells you doesn't actually exist, that they're not the violent group. But we've got the trailer for you. And I think it's really interesting when you go through the trailer and you're watching and you wonder, well, how is it that we're releasing a film during a time like this where left-wing violence is at an all-time high? Let's take a listen to the trailer.
Rise and shine.
Pat an eyelash.
Good morning.
There are no hands on the clock.
Why?
Because they're not needed.
What time is it?
You know, I don't remember that part. All right, let's just not nitpick over the passwords. This is Bob Ferguson. I was a part of the French 75.
Bitch, I felt like Tony Montana!
Steve Lockjaw just attacked my home, and I cannot remember, for the life of my only child, the answer to your question.
Maybe you should have studied the rebellion text a little harder.
I need to find my daughter.
Well, then call us back when you have the time.
You just...
You know, you are so unsuitable for my daughter. My child comes from a whole line of revolutionaries. And you look so lost. What are you gonna do about this baby?
You know what freedom is?
What?
No fear.
Go!
Not one thing, it's another. Find that to be true.
I need you, brother. Sensei, please.
Courage, Bob. Courage.
That's it.
Courage. Yeah. Yes. Thank you. Hey, thank you, Sensei. Thank you, Sensei. Thank you. God damn it. Viva la revolution!
All right, joining me to discuss is Mel Kay. She's host of The Mel Kay Show, author of Americans Anonymous, and she spent a lot of time in Hollywood. So this is my go-to when I want to talk about films. Mel, welcome to the program today. We're excited to have you on board, of course, as always. This is another film that they're saying, oh, it's just the timing. This was in the books a while back. But the reality of it is in the opening sequence, you know, you see the French 75 revolutionary group violently attacking and helping, trying to free these migrants from a detention center at the border. How odd that this is instantly being released now at a time when we're seeing a lot of left-wing violence and we're seeing it outside of ICE facilities.
Well, it's not surprising because, you know, there are quite a few people in the entertainment industry that are very attached to intelligence and the CIA. This has been going on since the very beginning. You can go all the way back to the 40s if you'd like. But what is going on, I believe, because there's also a new show with Jessica Chastain about a online hunter of radicals basically hunting down, it appears to me, Proud Boys and stuff like that. And then, of course, we had the movie Civil War come out in the middle of the Black Lives Matter things. This is, again, what it has always been. Predictive programming, getting to people, turning up the heat, turning up the anger. Of course, the richest, they came out 2 days ago, five suburbs in the world, basically, or in America, are in Hollywood and around Hollywood. So they are very insulated. They don't really think in terms of, is this going to be a rallying cry? And honestly, we do also have to remember, not just with this, but also with what happened on January 6th, and particularly what happened with the fake Gretchen Whitmer kidnapping, is that more often than not, as we just had it revealed, that 270-something FBI agents were in the crowd at the breach of January 6th, supposedly, that we have an onslaught of people that are, I think, hell-bent on a real civil war, a ground civil war in America that benefits nobody except for the international banking cartel, international public-private partnerships, military-industrial complex that is functioning above our nation and certainly running Hollywood. So to me, this is as bad as the four fake documentaries that were produced and put out on Netflix covering Oklahoma City, Seth Rich, Bin Laden. They are completely false documentaries. They are straight up propaganda, as I assume this is as well. I would not be seeing this. That used to be one of my favorite directors. But clearly everyone involved in this film, particularly Sean Penn, are all operatives of the global public-private partnership and have been very involved in the endless war and endless radicalism inside our country and supporting the left, no matter how far they go. So that's where we are. Hollywood lives in a bubble. Most of these people, they train their whole lives to function in a false pretense, in fake, worlds where they live and where they are surrounded by people just like them that think just like them. And they don't even know that they are being used again in propaganda to exploit the division in our country at a time when we actually need good films that bring people together. In fact, Ridley Scott, who's one of the greatest film directors ever, came out with a statement the other day, and just this week we found out that the unemployment rate in Hollywood for craftsmen, meaning the crew, is ridiculous and sad. And frankly, Ridley Scott said the movies are mediocre and they're not, you know, why would anyone want to see some of this stuff? It's manipulative, and I think it's openly manipulative.
Yeah, and it's so sad to see how they've captured Hollywood. I mean, we've known that these are all just like-minded people and they promote within. Matthew Marsden, who's been on the show, obviously an actor who was pushed out because of hanging out with conservatives, and they didn't like that. And so they did their very best to push him out. As you know, Mel, front and center, that's how they do things in Hollywood. But I want to switch gears up a little bit because, you know, we sat back yesterday and we watched things unfold in the Senate as Pamboni, the AG, was brought forward. And I have to say she did a good job for rebuttals and pushing back against the narrative when it comes to a lot of these Democrats who are lying now and trying to utilize Jeffrey Epstein and other cases to kind of go after and bash the Trump administration. So she did a great job at that. Now there's other stuff you could be critical about, but I wanted to play this one clip of her bouncing back when Senator Whitehouse only wanted to make this about, get that, Jeffrey Epstein. Take a listen.
Let me ask you something else. There's been public reporting that Jeffrey Epstein showed people photos of President Trump with half-naked young women. Do you know if the FBI found those photographs in their search of Jeffrey Epstein's safe or premises or otherwise? Have you seen any such thing?
You know, Senator Whitehouse, you sit here and make salacious remarks, once again trying to slander President Trump left and right, when you're the one who was taking money from one of Epstein's closest confidants, I believe, I could be wrong, correct me, Reid Hoffman, who was with Jeffrey Epstein on multiple occasions. And the senator sitting right next to you tried to block the flight logs from being released. Yet you're grilling me on President Trump and some photograph with Epstein? Come on.
The question is, did the FBI find those photographs that have been discussed publicly by a witness who claimed Jeffrey Epstein showed them to him? You don't know anything about that. Okay.
Pamboni, I like a loss for words as to why he keeps circling around this. This is someone allegedly, and he doesn't dispute it too. I don't think he disputed it during her pushback, but the Reid Hoffman angle to all of this. They don't like to talk about this, but she was giving these Democrats all of the opportunities to kind of push back on her accusations. They just decided not to, though. They won't let go of the Epstein stuff. And again, I don't think the American people should let go of it. I think it's important for us to figure out who was actually there sexually abusing children. But I think that it's pretty disgusting that Democrats continue to push the narrative of Epstein and continue to demand that the Trump administration release things that they weren't demanding from the last administration, Mel.
Well, first and foremost, Donald Trump is not implicated in the Epstein case, okay? He's not. That is a fact. That is why they did not push it during the Merrick Garland Otto Penn presidency period. But there are a lot of people that are, in fact, implicated in this, but most of them are not who people think they are. Frankly, Jeffrey Epstein, and I have plenty of evidence, I've been covering this for years, he was very involved, I believe, not just in sex trafficking and what was going on with children at the border and, I mean, at, at his island and everywhere else. Jeffrey Epstein was very involved all the way back to Iran-Contra in weapons deals, in multinational relationships. Just last week, a treasure trove of Jeffrey Epstein emails came out between him and Ehud Barak that nobody has covered in the mainstream media because it hurts the narrative. And frankly, he was involved in the moving of Air America, which most people know was the CIA flights to Nicaragua and other places dealing with drugs and weapons. He was involved in moving Air America to Ohio, where his main beneficiary, it appears, was Les Wexner, where he runs L Brands. There are a lot of layers to the Jeffrey Epstein case that people on both sides of the aisle do not want to come out. And frankly, you can tie in Bill Barr as well. But the Jeffrey Epstein story is a story about international banking and international arms trades and human trafficking and gun trafficking and drug trafficking on a global scale that has been going on at least since the 90s, if not before. And a lot of people that are staying away from this don't touch on things like Jess Staley being on the on trial basically and asked about Epstein, and there's emails with him. He was Barclays. He was obviously JP Morgan, but they have 20 years of records of Jeffrey Epstein at JP Morgan that they have obviously, they know who the transactions are between $350 million given by JP Morgan to the victims. And that's only the tip of the iceberg. So they can keep pushing all they want. That's why Donald Trump is calling it a hoax. Between the 4 years that the Otto Penn presidency was there and the rogue AG and FBI were on top of this, I believe that just like with everything else, they were destroying real evidence. They were probably concocting fake evidence because they've been doing this for years, the same group. And frankly, the bigger picture of Jeffrey Epstein is a global picture of clandestine operations connected, I believe, to the CIA, MI6, all of the groups that are involved in protecting Wall Street and the military-industrial complex, and a lot of contractors involved in weapons around the world. So I just think that this is a diversion tactic, and frankly, they are trying to create something that has been proven over and over, particularly by Bradley Edwards, who represented a lot of the victims, that Donald Trump is not implicated in Jeffrey Epstein's crimes, period. And it's just ridiculous. But my problem with Pam Bondi, and frankly, I would, you know, I'm not a fan because of what happened in the Zimmerman case with her, but the truth is that this shouldn't be about Donald Trump. This should be about decades of crimes against people of the United States of America, cover-ups, lies, manipulation, theft of our taxpayer dollars. All of this has been very, very insidious, and it goes way deeper than anyone, I think, believes. And Jeffrey Epstein has been right there in the forefront, honestly, since at least the 80s, 90s when he went to Bear Stearns. So the Jeffrey Epstein case is a global case, and it is really about global financial systems, global globalist agendas. And that really is what we need to uncover, is what exactly was being run above our heads in this country and around the world that has led to endless war for profit and endless diversion of true stories for fake stories to cover up that our country has been captured, and that these people that work for the intelligence agencies, particularly the CIA, do not work for the United States of America. They frankly work to protect the international banking cartel, of which Jeffrey Epstein was a part. So the whole thing is a distraction from the true case.
Yeah, yeah. And Mel, this is why so many of us follow you on both X and Rumble, because you always give us a deep dive into all of these stories. So we greatly appreciate it, folks. Again, just a reminder, she's the host of the Mel Kay Show. It's an incredible show where I always learn something new from you, Mel. I always say that. And your book, Americans Anonymous, is also a great grab over at Amazon. So definitely look into that. Mel, thanks for joining us again. I appreciate your time as always.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next time. Appreciate it.
See you soon. All right, folks, we're getting breaking news. I wanted to make sure we jumped in on, because this is a big one. Federal law enforcement sources are saying to Bill Malusian of Fox News that there was an arson suspect that recently was just arrested for igniting the deadly Palisades fire in January and that claimed 12 lives. It looks like the DOJ is going to be holding a press conference in just a few moments about that. That's expected to begin at 9 a.m. Pacific time. So again, folks, we're going to be following that because that's going to be based in Los Angeles. Again, there were so many questions regarding those fires that so many people wanted us to kind of look away from, because now Gavin Newsom, we've talked about that before, Newsom all of a sudden has affordable housing that he's looking to use and to push onto that land. And so many of us thought it was a land grab, and it looks to be like that. So there's been an arrest. Apparently the DOJ will be announcing that in just a few moments. We'll obviously keep you in the loop. That's according to Bill Malusian. So again, folks, a lot going on still. And I can't wait to see the update on that one. So that's a big story. All right, let's switch up gears a little bit, because Caitlin Collins gave President Trump, I would say, a compliment. It's a compliment from her, especially in clip 14 that we're going to play for you. She's openly saying that the big difference between Donald Trump and, you know, the Obama-Biden regime is that he's willing to speak to you and take questions from the media. Take a listen.
It's different because Trump is such an accessible president that, like, if he's just swearing in the ambassador to Greece, like, typically that wouldn't be a newsworthy event if President Biden or any typical president was probably doing it. But Trump's moments, anytime the camera's around and the reporters are around, it can turn into a press conference. And so you never go into the Oval thinking, oh, this is going to be a quick, we call them sprays. It's where you go in, basically a photo op, and then you leave. Because Trump will swear someone in and then he'll turn to you and say, you know, any questions? And he'll take maybe questions for 45 minutes. And so you have to, like, I always keep a running list of questions on my phone.
Okay.
Because you never know when you're going to run into him or when he's going to start taking questions. And so you can't just have one or two. Like, you have to have like 10 ready to go.
Because you said the word typical president, right? Not your typical president. Typical president was swearing in someone from Greece, like we would know. Is that because of predictability?
Here, well, so Trump is my first president that I've ever covered. And I covered Biden as well. And so, right, I can compare it to him. But even with President Obama, you know, there are these moments in the Oval Office that everyone has come to know because you see them on TV so often.
Right.
But when you speak to reporters who covered President Obama, he almost never responded to shouted questions. He just, it wasn't his thing. He didn't, you know, he would have his moments with world leaders and then you would leave the Oval. Trump kind of upended that when he came into the White House. Mm. And sometimes presidents are press averse. Trump embraced the media. I mean, he did it for decades as like this New York mogul.
Sure.
And so he just had a different approach to the press and always has, you know, long before taking office. Most politicians are not very press savvy. It kind of depends on who it is. I think Trump always understood the value of a camera and a microphone.
Yeah, I mean, he's probably one of the easiest presidents to deal with when it comes to transparency, that's for sure. Again, the bar was set pretty damn low, I'd say, given the Obama-Biden regime trying to hide everything behind the scenes. We've laid it out for you throughout the entire show on what was going on behind the scenes, whether it's the declassified documents we saw yesterday about how they were trying to cover up how corrupt the Biden family was with Ukraine, or any of this. I mean, they're spying on their political opponents. Nobody really cares. Nobody really says anything. You'd think as a member of the media, you'd actually be a little bit more grateful for President Trump. You'd be more open to have these discussions with President Trump and give him better coverage because he's so transparent and he's kind to you and he's polite to you. But no, no, no. They're going to continue to lie about him, what he's working on. Again, you don't have to like everything he's done, but the majority of the things that have come out of the White House, I'd say, are for the better. And that's a big one. That's a big one. Again, you can be critical. That's fine. But the reality of it is the mainstream media has never had this level of access to any administration. And so it's interesting to hear Collins just say that. Just say that. Again, every other White House that I've ever seen, they just continuously cover things up. And again, it's probably happening again in the Trump White House. I'm not saying that they're the best, that they've never done anything, but they're definitely better than the others. And again, that's because the bar was set so low. So it's interesting to hear Collins call that out. I love this picture. This is a great one. This is a great one. You can't tell if it's AI generated or a live shot of the White House right now. All right, let's shift it over a little bit too, because Jon Stewart is really unhinged as to how powerful Republicans truly are. In clip 15, he's forced to admit that they do garner a lot of power, of course, and that Democrats really stand for nothing. Take a listen.
75 million Americans voted for a Democrat in this last round of presidential elections. And at this moment, they have zero power at the federal level, not in the House, not in the Senate, not in the executive, and not in the courts. There has not been a moment of conciliation or concern about the issues and policies that drove those 75 million votes. Not a moment. At present, the Democrats' largest victory over these past 8 months is getting a guy who may or may not be a criminal back from El Salvador so Trump could send him to Uganda. That was the big win. And then suddenly, a small ask for people's preservation of health care is a Molotov cocktail. Because apparently Republicans won't be satisfied with 99.8% domination. They must have it all. ICE went from deporting the worst of the worst to throwing grandmothers onto linoleum and zip-tying American children. And everyone's just supposed to be cool with the new masked, incredibly well-funded paramilitary group. And Democrats are just reduced to petty gestures of restroom resistance.
I mean, I know most people think that's a little unhinged, but he's actually being truthful. And President Trump would probably agree on part of that because he has no problem calling out Democrats, saying that they stand for nothing at all. And in fact, he thinks that they're just as bad as the leader of Somalia. There's really nothing there for talk about politics, at least. And he even added to this was during when he was meeting with the media. He even added that when it comes to like people like Ilhan Omar, he wanted the Somalian leader to take her back. But again, Democrats really don't stand for much besides communism these days. You see, they know that they can't garner the support of the American people these days, so they're importing their next group, their next demographic. And so that's what's going on throughout our country. It's interesting, though, when you start to see a lot of people are waking up. A lot of people are waking up, and they're starting to speak about it. Listen, you cannot continue to cover this stuff up. And I think that's a really, really interesting way to phrase it. Again, folks, I also want to call your attention to it because it's only going to be going on for a few more hours. It's the Last Stand Super Sale right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. Head on over there today because, again, InfoWars could be shut down as soon as next week or even today. That's why we've launched the Last Stand Super Sale. Say that fast. I challenge you to fund the next operation and to keep us on the air and in this fight for the information that you all need. Because again, everyone's afraid to touch these stories, but we're not. So head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. It's 20% off site-wide, plus BOGO on some of your favorite supplements while supplies last. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Again, now is the time to stock up on all of your favorite items. And you're also supporting a great cause when you do just that. Again, folks, I'm watching a bunch of stuff that's happening right now. And you know what's interesting? I was trying to find it. But there was supposed to be a congressional hearing regarding a lot of these platforms like Discord that are being utilized. I haven't seen anything. James Comey, just a couple of weeks ago, sent a letter to the CEO of Discord and asked them to come forward in front of the House to speak about how those could be utilizing their platforms to become more radicalized or push people to become more radicalized. And I had it on my calendar for today, but I have not seen it. We're going to follow up just to see what's going on there because that was a good one. And I was interested in hearing what specifically was going on there. Of course, Discord's being accused of being a platform utilized by those who are trying to commit terror attacks on the mainland. So we'll continue to follow that as it unravels. But again, I haven't seen much on that front. That is something that we need to see. All right, folks, it was great having you all with us today on the American Journal. It was exciting to have Senator Tommy Tuberville here telling you that he's going to be pushing to get Jack Smith disbarred. That's a big one. That's a big one. It's the first step of many steps that we're hoping they take. So thank you all for tuning in today. We're getting ready to kick things off with Alex next. So do not go anywhere. There's plenty of more to dive into.
Join our regularly scheduled program after these messages.
I didn't know he was taking our ultramethylene blue, so I said, oh, with all our guests, we asked him to take it, and you just gave me your brief testimony, so I would look, because I mean, this isn't BS. Robert F. Kennedy Jr. takes it. It's good for your cells. If you're on SSRIs, you can't take it. It's very serious. We have the strongest, and it funds this operation. You want to get it at thealexjonesstore.com. Medical grade, USP grade, the best. Ultramethylene blue. So you sort of give me your testimony saying you love it. I said, hold on. I don't want to know. I want you to tell people on air, William. So when did you get it? What was the effect?
So I've been a health nut, people call me, all my life.
Well, you look super young for your age. So.
And so I thank God that I've been healthy. And when I take most supplements, a lot of people say, oh, you'll feel, you know, this big surge. And normally I don't. I just think, okay, I'm doing something right for my body and for my brain. And with Methylene Blue, I do notice that it does seem to give me more mental energy. It helps me I keep a lot of late hours. I'm talking to people over in Europe or over in other continents. And so my biorhythms get all messed up. And so it really helps me with my sleep. And
well, be honest, though, because you're saying your doctors, others told you to do it, just like mine did 6 years ago. I got it, USP. Didn't really have the effect. My wife liked it, so she's been on it. We tried different brands. This one, I'm not trying to differentiate. It's just true. It's been way stronger for me. If you do have other brands you took that are as good or better, I want to know, because there's something better, we'll go with them.
I haven't found anything better.
Now, back to our program.